I listen to Jason's all the time.
Yeah, I mean, hell. I like Jason's sound effects he's getting into now.
Oh, yeah. I really picked up on that. And I'll tell you, one of the things that every time I listen to a show, I catch myself wanting to go through a drive-thru, and I went to the drive-thru at KFC twice.
Now, I haven't caught up on his... I haven't caught up with what he and Anthony did on the...
Oh, I haven't caught up.
Drive-thru Diaries?
Yeah.
Those are good.
Well, I think I'm there because he puts that on Talking Is Dead, right?
Right.
So I just haven't caught up to it yet when those guys did that.
Oh, no, he's got a couple episodes. I think there are like four of them so far.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
They're good.
I've never listened to Talking Is Dead. I should probably subscribe.
Well, Talking Is Dead is just the feed. There's like multiple shows on there that Anthony does with different people.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now it is. I mean, originally it was Mike Vardy and himself. But,
yeah.
But then Mike Vardy got so busy, Talking His Dead was dead. until he did the road trip to Pod Dump.
Yeah, Pod Dump. how to make
Human
money.
Chain, that was good.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Kill him! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael, the virtual Uber. Tonight, enough with the snow already! This isn't Copper Harbor! Michael says goodbye to his Christmas tree. And Goldfinger takes a hit. All that and more on Late Night Killer! And now, digitally gathering to watch Barry play with his selfie stick.
Oh, that's not right.
Here's Joel, Barry, and Michael! Hey, everybody. Welcome to Late Night QRM, show number 171 from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, where it's a balmy 80 degrees now outside. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. I'm Barry J.
And from the beautiful Hillsborough County, southeast corner of New Hampshire, where... albeit in the same state, it's a slightly different out my window. This is Joel.
And from a warm and cozy Studio V, Simon Weeks, this is Michael, the virtual Uber.
All right. And Michael, you just started to cut out. You didn't sign on, but you cut out. So I'm killing my video. Sorry, guys. Yes. I wish we could keep the video up, but...
Same here. We'll increase our odds for excellent... audio quality.
Oh, that's not going to happen with FailPoint. It's been very spotty this week. As I was telling these guys in the pre-show, it's, I'll have 7-8 MIP down, and then all of a sudden it'll drop down to half a MIP down, and then it'll bounce up and stay at 2-3 MIPs for a while, and all of a sudden it'll jump back up to 8 MIPs. And I mean, I got nothing going here. I've got pretty much everything shut down because I was trying to watch the, I was trying to catch up on the Blacklist. And luckily that did stream okay, but I was doing tests every so often through it. Just to check. That was the only thing going. And actually before that, I was doing it. And it's just, I don't know what to do. Right? You know, you can call them how many times and it's the only game in town. I was actually on the internet last night. Searching to see if there was any other service that might have come out since I joined FailPoint. And sadly, there isn't. And sadly, Comcast or Xfinity. Yeah, they haven't decided to come out this far. They stop a mile away from the house.
Really?
Yeah, they're a mile away from the house.
Well, that's just enough to tease you.
And it's fiber. But because it's the orange cable, and orange cable usually means it's fiber.
Yep.
And but nope, That doesn't come out this far. I'd even be put up with their rudeness, and you know, they could put anything on my bill coming here. You could call me fuckhead dimshit, you know, Furnival.
I recall that story. Yeah,
I'll still pay the bill.
Give me that happy. Orange cable to my house.
Yeah, really. So the big story here is the weather. It's a balmy 80 degrees. I'm going to be cutting grass tomorrow.
You've already taken the blower off the JD and got the deck on?
Yeah. It was such a breeze to do it, too. It only took me 5 minutes.
Nice.
And I'm all set. The dog's outside. I can hear crickets in the air.
Well, hell's bells. We'll be up for a barbecue tomorrow.
That's right. Come on up. We'll have a nice barbecue out in the backyard. It'll be nice. And I'll have my shorts on, my Hawaiian shirt. Nice. We'll have some.
Barry, this is beyond beverage. What have you been smoking?
I was going to say either that or he bumped his head really hard when he slipped on the ice.
Come on. I gotta do something.
Yeah, there's got a TARDIS out there somewhere we don't know about.
This freaking snow is for the birds. Well,
yeah, well, actually, no, they all left.
Yeah, they did. They were smart. They left.
They went to Florida.
Oh, God.
Hey, he's got some penguins in the backyard now that he doesn't know where they came from.
How do they think this is? Copper Harbor?
I know. I mean, we're not prepared to handle this crap, man.
I didn't even have a new name for where they push all the snow from parking lots and stuff. They call it a snow farm.
A snow farm?
Yeah, they call it the snow farm, and they're saying, "Oh, the snow farms are all full. We don't know what we're going to do
dump with the ocean.
This latest blizzard." And so they got permission to dump it into the ocean.
Yeah.
Because before, the EPA wasn't allowing it because, you know, you don't want to get all that salt and sand in the ocean.
It's going to run off there anyway.
Well, you know.
When it melts.
Again, going across a sandy beach into the salty ocean water, you're dumping salt and sand.
Yes, I see your point there. And I didn't get it. Yeah, I missed it. I missed the cue. I was sitting here thinking, what? I had heard that argument earlier from someone. And I thought, well, you know, the stuff that's on the roads. I mean, I said, what, gravel?
Yeah.
And salt?
Oh, there's no rocks in the ocean around here?
There could be glass, and there could be some trash there. And I'm like, yeah, and that stuff all typically, with the exception of the real big stuff, runs back into the ocean when all this crap melts.
Yeah. Yep.
So all you're doing is cutting out the middle, man, and making room for the next storm. And people look to me and went, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
So in case anybody doesn't know or hasn't heard, we've been having snow about every other day here.
Yep.
And you know, sometimes, like last Sunday, it was about a foot.
Yeah. I forgot to put that in the notes. Too.
Well, we have enough about snow in the beginning. I don't think we need you probably got a little more.
Touch.
Yeah, because we got a foot out here. I think actually we got the hardest on last Sunday nights. It snowed a little more out here than most places, and it was a slow snow. It started, you know, kind of coming in on Saturday, and then just, you know, gracefully snowing across a 48-hour period.
Yeah.
I stayed home on Monday. I took a snow day because it was snowing. I did.
I was thinking. I actually said that to myself while I was driving into work.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I wonder if he's going to stay home today or if he's going to brave the roads.
Yeah. I'm not going to brag. Well, first of all, it took me almost three hours to get the frickin' driveway done because Bruce came by with the earth mover at least three times while I was out there. So I had to snow blow the bottom of the driveway, and I've got two entrances and do the mailboxes. Otherwise, they don't deliver mail. So it was, and plus, I'm watching Bruce go up with this big, you know, earth grader, which is his favorite tool.
Starting to sign on a bit there, buddy.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he is.
Let me see if I got a test.
Speed test.
Let me do a speed test.
That's what I figured.
God, I don't have one up. Hang on, I got to log in. Yeah.
While you're logging in and doing that, I can actually say, I mean, my heart bleeds a little bit. I know it was tough when you said, you know, the big berms at the end of the driveway, and it truly is. However, I would much prefer to get the berms at the end of my driveway sitting down than walking through them.
What?
You know, I mean, I even said to a buddy of mine when I was at work, I said, my buddy has got this beautiful John Deere with this massive friggin' snowblower on the front. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. He goes, yeah, it's tough moving the snow. I said, tough? I said, I could drink a beer and blow snow while running that thing. I can't do it when I'm on my walk-behind snowblower.
I do have a cup holder.
I keep vibrating my beer all over the driveway.
I do have a cup holder. Oh, and you know what else I ordered this week? I finally found some. I don't think... No, I didn't talk about it. I got snow pants that actually fit.
Send me that link, please.
Okay. I got them on Amazon, but I will send you the link because my biggest problem, of course, is getting snow pants long enough. Because you know they always do XL, XXL, 2XL. I mean, that's how they size them. And then you go to the sizing chart and you look at it, and it's like, what the hell is XLT? And it's only 33-inch inseam. That's not an XLT. You know?
Well, I much like yourself, not to the same extent for the inseam. My inseam's 34, mm-hmm. but let's just say I got good birthing hips. Five. My rain suit that I have to go on the roof at work when I'm working on rooftop units is a 7XL.
Wow.
Oh, so it fits over top of my clothes.
You're not going to believe this.
What?
I've got 12 and a half MIPS down right now. That's like the fastest I've seen in weeks. And that's off across the Wi-Fi.
So why are you siloning so bad?
I don't know. Because I'm
but that's down. That's not
well, I'm doing the upload right now, and I've got 9.96, which is about the best I'm going to get since I only get one MIP, and that's with this going. So if I'm siloning, I don't know. It might be Hangout doing it.
Well... Sometime when you have a chance, probably the next thing you should check is your MTU setting.
I did that.
You did an MTU test?
I shortened it a little.
And you weren't seeing any fragmentation?
I was not seeing fragmentation. It was suggested. I was doing some more research, and they suggested just taking it down to, 14? I forget what the rest setting is. But I only did it on my laptop though, and I'm not going through.
Well, you need to do it at the router.
Oh,
it won't help you to do it at the laptop. Welcome to the late night QRM IT corner.
That's all right. That's all right.
Try turning it off. You want to do it, and turning it back on again.
Yeah, you want to do it at the main router.
Okay.
That that collaborates. You know what I mean. The big right. That big term. It grabs everything together and shoves it down the pipe. That's the router you want to throttle it at.
I'll have to go check that. That is the most confusing router when you get in there because it has all these settings that make it's. They make no sense whatsoever. There are all these special codes, and I have to go find the frickin' manual for this router.
You could do it at your Wi-Fi router, though.
That it is my Wi-Fi router.
Oh, okay.
It's my Wi-Fi router and my DSL. A DSL modem.
Okay.
So, and it's all there, but they have all these, I don't know. The old one, I'm tempted to put the old one back on because the old one was much easier to do, and I don't think there was anything wrong with the old one. They sent me a new router just because they were trying to figure out what the hell was wrong.
Yeah, but then you're going to have to get the MAC address of the old one reactivated.
I don't know. Maybe. It might be just you put in all the stuff right and it's okay with DSL. Because I have a logon and password For DSL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's PPP or whatever they use.
PNP.
Yeah.
It used to be PPP. Dial-up used to do the PPP thing, but I don't know. It's kind of what I do in the morning. It's kind of what I do in the morning after I take my pee pill.
Your PPP pill?
Yeah, I get it into work and I PPP.
Yeah, sorry I sidelined you there.
No. Don't worry. We're just going to run into each other all the time because there is some latency. We're used to it. People are used to it. But so anyway, my snow pants, they came.
Yes.
They came like 2 days later. They fit. They're waterproof. So that's going to really help me with, if I was wearing long johns and jeans, you get that dusting of snow as you're moving the chute around or the wind blows the wrong way all of a sudden you get that spray of nice cold snow in your face and it lands on the top of my pants and I try to rub it off as fast as I can, but it just kind of rubs it in and then they get wet and then my thighs start to freeze and so that was the one thing. Shy of getting the cabin that you can get for this setup.
That's like a grand, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like $1,200 or something.
It's not cheap by any stretch.
Well, the pants, they're certainly cheaper than $1,200, but the pants cost me $90.
That's certainly cheaper. That's well worth it. I got a question. Can you wear the snow pants with blue jeans on underneath?
Yes, because they size them in such a way that they say, like, this is for somebody that has a 48 to 50 waist, and it says the actual... the actual waist size was 54.
Okay.
So in other words, they make them bigger. They give you all the stuff. I tried them on. I tried them over my jeans and they fit perfectly. They're good. As a matter of fact, I got extra room.
That's what I definitely send me the link and info, because as it is now, I wear my sweatpants under my blue jeans, two pairs of socks, then my boots, then a fleece, then my parka, then my balaclava, and you guys keep making fun because you say I'm part of a sleeper cell, and then two pairs of gloves, and then I'm walking behind my snowblower, and it's one of those things where, again, same thing, jeans and sweatpants don't keep the moisture out.
Right. No, they don't. And I started wearing my big winter Thinsulate, which is kind of interesting because it's an L.L. Bean one, and it's waterproof on the outside. It's thin, though. It doesn't seem like it's super thick, but it's got Thinsulate in it. And that thing is warm as toast. No wind blows through it. Nothing. It's like the best jacket I've ever had. And it's long, so it does come down onto the top of your legs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice and very warm. It's got a fur collar on it, a fake fur collar, of course, for those who worry about things like that. But it's nice because it goes up against it's nice and fuzzy against your neck, and it's great. With that and the snow pants and my rubber tip shoes, I shouldn't have any.
You wear mittens or gloves?
I wear mittens. Michael told us, wear mittens. I wear mittens. And that's much better. But I also throw in the chemical hand warmer things in there. So the only thing that I have problems with are my thumbs.
They work good.
Yeah, my thumbs are the only thing that get cold now. And I found out that if I don't strap my hand into the mitten while I'm snow blowing, I can
ooh, bad Cylon, brother. Bad Cylon.
Oh, sorry.
Real bad.
Yeah, I can...
No. I'm just letting you know, because I don't know if it's going to be in the recording or not.
No, it's never in the recording, because I'm doing the recording. So they get me live. They don't get me coming over the internet. Yeah, okay. I'm getting absolutely nothing right now in the speed test. Wow. See, this is what I've been dealing with all week. Am I still sidelining? Because I can't even get it.
Okay, Joel. I think Barry's first syllable was. What do you think the second syllable was?
Fail, and then it sounded like, and then from there, I think
point.
It was a superlative.
Fail point.
Yeah, fail point.
Yeah, that's it.
And then it's I thought he said something like "son of a," and then it cut out, and then.
Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there yes. you go.
Oh, I've got a whopping 2.83 MIPS down right now, and my ping rate is 757 milliseconds.
Holy crap!
But my upload's
from 1993.
Okay.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm telling you, this is what it's been doing all freaking week. You know, it's just spotty. And they won't do a damn thing to go check.
Are they still on strike?
Yes, they're still on strike. But they're still on strike. They're still not serving us properly, but I'm still paying the full amount.
Yep. Don't you love that? Don't you just, it warms the cockles of your heart.
You know, people are. I know. Listeners are going to get tired of hearing me bitch about FailPoint, but it's very annoying when you're internet centric, and you know. Let's put it this way: I've always been a media kind of person. It's been a hobby. I used to listen to radio. I'd listen to shortwave radio. I liked to listen to AM radio at night when I was a kid. And then the internet came along, and I jumped right into that. I grew up on television. I watched TV every night. I get my homework done, and then go and sit down and watch television. And you know, so if somebody had asked me, like in the 70s or mm-hmm. or even early 80s, if you took the TV away from you, what would you do? And it's like, I'd freak out. I need my television. You know, that would be like the worst thing in the world. And now if somebody asked me the same thing, if something had to go, either the TV or the internet, I'd say, take the TV.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Take the TV. I don't need the TV. I need the internet though. I am an internet junkie. Oh. So it's an important thing in my life.
It ranks right up there with food.
Yes, yes. And so this is really driving me nuts. But there's nothing I can do about it.
You're at the mercy of the man.
I could go yell at the people on strike. Hey, get back to work. So you got to pay a little bit for your health insurance. I've been doing it all my life.
Now. Give an inch. That's what they're going to say. I mean, I
give an inch. You pay nothing and still make the same amount of money as I do.
I heard that little fact. I thought, wow, you know, folks, not for nothing. I mean, I'm all about making sure workers, you know, get a fair shake. But everybody else in the state has to shell out a ton of dough for their health insurance.
Yeah.
And this is the 21st century, after all. Step up to the plate.
Right. And you might want to stick it to the man, but let me tell you something. You're sticking it to the little guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, yes, I have to go investigate, but my dish bill went up significantly this month.
Whoa. Wait a minute. You got rid of a couple channels. How did it go up?
I never got rid of them. So, but it went up because, I don't know, all the frickin' content providers are all raising their prices, and Dish has been fighting it. And, you know, so they take their channels off of Dish for a while, and then people get mad at Dish because they can't see their TV shows, but they don't realize that Dish is on their side. So eventually Dish has to give in and pay the extra thing. Well, guess what? Now they're going to be bitching to Dish because, gee, your bill went up $15 a month. Well, guess why?
Yeah.
Because they got to pay that much more for the content. And we got to watch the stupid commercials on their freaking channels. So we're paying them twice. We're paying them for the content, and we get to watch freaking commercials.
Nice. Yeah. Double dipping.
Yep. But, oh, yes, well, it costs that much to do it, so it's only fair. It's only fair.
I call bullshit on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting ready to pull the plug. I really am, because I've found that, well, not yet. Not until I get a good internet provider.
That's going to be important.
But if I can get a good internet provider, I'm ready to pull the plug, because hell, half the time the shows that I like, I get off the internet anyway and watch those because they're commercial free.
Or a lot commercial less. In other words, like I watched The Blacklist on Hulu Plus. You know, when you were talking about that, and we were talking about before the show, I watch Supernatural on Hulu Plus. It has commercials, but they're only 30 seconds long, and it's usually only two or three.
Where I get my Blacklist, somebody courteously, what's the word I'm looking for? generously, generously takes all the commercials out. So it fades to black, and it fades back in, and with the next.
That's scene. Very gracious of them.
Kind of like, you know, how Doctor Who is on BBC.
So I think I gotta find out. I gotta check to see if there's any more of those.
What?
Doctor Who's?
No, they're done for a while.
I thought they were. Yeah. But if they were in sabbatical.
Well, they ran their series for this year. The next series, I should say. They don't say. Yeah, they call seasons series.
No, they call them series, right?
Yeah. So whenever that comes up, I think it's in summertime. It starts like August, doesn't it?
I don't remember.
I think it's like August or July, August time frame. Although, whatchamacallit's coming up. Sherlock. Sherlock.
Oh, yes.
Sherlock's coming up soon. They'll be starting.
Looking forward to that.
So, we're doing entertainment last month.
Yeah, Sherlock and Arthur Dent. I mean, Sherlock and Bilbo Baggins. Sherlock and Martin Freeman. There we go.
Martin Freeman.
Was he Arthur Dent, too?
He was Arthur Dent in the movie,
Arthur Dent, yes.
Yes, he was. Wow. Wow, that's interesting.
In the movie, not in the BBC series.
Right.
Right. The good movie. I mean, the good movie, if you want to call it a good movie.
I think it was a good movie.
It was a good movie. I like the BBC series better.
And I definitely like the book better, which, you know, I don't read that much.
I can't read, so I just watch TV.
Reading puts me right out. I mean,
yeah, that's why I can't read. If I pick up a book, I'm three pages into it, I'm asleep.
Yeah, that's the way I am. I mean, I would love to read because, you know, there are the stuff I'm interested in, man, it's good, but I get three pages into it and I'm fighting. I'm doing head bobs and I'm going back and rereading stuff and it's like, just make it a movie, a good movie, and let me know when it's ready.
Or put it on a screen. If I can read, well, you know, when I was reading on your iPad, mm-hmm. This is ages ago. Then I'll sit there. I read all day long if it's on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I've been sitting there trying to read it on my different pads I have, or even now my Tell the 6 Plus is big enough I can sit there and read it on the 6 Plus, and it still does it. I mean, you want to put me out on an airplane, man, I'll be sitting there trying to read it on an airplane, and I won't even make takeoff. Yeah, I mean, it'll put me right out. And I've tried. I don't mind reading. I'm a slow reader. I've always been a slow reader because I read every frickin' word. I sometimes wonder whether I am slightly dyslexic, if that's a possibility, or you're dyslexic, because I always have to have a ruler or something or put my hand up to keep track of exactly where I am. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I just get lost real easy. Yep. And I know my wife, she just sits there. She reads like half a page in one look.
At a glance.
Yeah, at a glance. I mean, she can flip through a book. You know, she's sitting there going, okay, first page, flip, second page, third page, flip, fourth page, fifth page, flip, sixth page. I mean, that's how fast she reads. And I'm like, yep. Me? First page.
So
okay, I've got the first paragraph done. and I try to speed it up, but, you know, I don't like doing that. I mean, the author took the time to place each word on the page, and I feel I have to read each word.
I'm right there with you.
So, I don't know. What can I say? But you know what? We haven't talked about what the Podcasters Anonymous are doing tonight.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Hey! And tonight's beverage here in the QRM studios is a beautiful Tanqueray gin with diet tonic water and a squirt of lime. In my giant sippy cup, of course. So it's probably like three gin and tonics.
You got your gin and juice? You got some Snoop Dogg playing in the background?
No, I don't. Is that something I don't know about?
It's a rap song. Snoop Dogg did one called Gin and Juice.
Snoop Dogg, he's the one that likes the marijuana, right? I'm not into the hip jive scene, you know.
Okay, yeah, we're breaking up a little bit there, but I'm just going to say, you got it.
right. I was going to ask, was it just me, or did Barry break up again?
You know, he was breaking up, but I'm just going to, you know what they always say, when you don't understand, just nod your head, smile, and say, yeah.
I do that all the time. I know, you can't hear me, right?
In the paramedic business, we say you've gone digital, Barry.
Yes, I have no ping.
No ping. No ping.
They can give you a prescription for some ping.
You think a little blue pill will help?
Blue, green, red. Why'd I take the blue pill? I have no idea. But
are you supposed to take the red pill?
Some ping. Red pill or the blue pill?
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, it says my ping rate, even though it's... Took 2 minutes to come. It says my ping rate's 29 milliseconds, and I've got over 10. So I must be back.
Oh, you're back now.
Yeah, 12. I'm up at the 12 MIPS down. 12 and a half. It sucks. Okay. It sucks! Okay, go ahead, Joel. Sorry. Or Michael. Michael's next.
Actually, Michael.
Okay, well, here in Studio V, a nice cozy Studio V, but we'll go into those details later. I am drinking a mixture of piping hot Earl Grey tea, but a mixture of about 2/3 to 1/3, and the 1/3 is the Yellowtail Merlot. And I got that in a thermos, so I'm pouring it out in little tiny shots, almost like, you know, you'd have warm sake, and it's just perfect for this super cold weather we've got here. Now, I mean, it's probably about the same you've got, but it's about -8, -10 outside. Before the wind, and with the wind, it's about -30, -35. But I don't care, because my heat's working again in my office. Woohoo! Over to you, Joel.
All right. I like to start a bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. No, I'm not drinking gin and juice. I'm actually drinking the good brothers Christian happened to stop by, and the good doctor, Mr. Pepper, fell into the cup at the same time. And, you know, it's of course, it's in the sippy cup. Uh-huh. And... it's my second sippy cup, and I'm going to need some more brandy.
There you go. All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, I wish we had Verizon again. Or was that AT&T? No, that was Verizon. Yeah.
Yeah,
was that AT&T? Yeah, that was Verizon.
It was Verizon. Yeah. Verizon before Clearpoint bought them.
Yeah, okay. So... that's what we're drinking. We already talked about the weather. Everybody knows we're getting another blizzard. Well, Joel's getting another blizzard. We're just getting... well, let's put it this way. Our forecast out here was 6 to 10 inches. Unless, of course, you're in the upper elevations of the Monadnock region. So, if you're... our higher elevations.
Okay.
If you're in the higher elevations of the Monadnock region... Then you're probably going to get much more snow. And since I sit
right
at 1,200 feet, I think that's classified.
Ice cream, what?
God!
Aardvarks?
Aardvarks?
Aardvarks? Did I read that right, Joel?
He did. I think he said aardvarks eat ice cream.
Monadnock and aardvarks. That was interesting.
It is, too. I know down in our neck of the woods, and I'll be quick about it, there we are in the... 18 to 22 range, which I'm so glad, because I almost forgot what snow looked like. And I don't even think about it anymore. Now when they say snow, I'm like, eh, it's like saying there's air outside. I'm just going to assume there's going to be some, and I've got no place to put it because I live in the city.
That's good. Now, you know, the people on the podcast can hear me. Unfortunately, you guys probably can't because this sucks. It's amazing. You guys are coming in crystal clear, no problems whatsoever, but you can't hear a frickin' thing I'm saying.
Well, right now we can.
Yeah, now you're crystal clear. Michael and I are really good guessers.
Yeah, we can hear each other just fine. Okay. Is there any chance you could switch to LTE, Barry, or are you hardwired?
No, I'm hardwired in, and I don't have my phone up here. Plus, I only get two dots on LTE in my house.
No,
so it's about the same. Yeah, sometimes I get lucky, but it's about the same. Yeah. And I was thinking about that because I do get 10 gigs a month on my plan, and now they let you roll them over to the next month, whatever you didn't use. So, and I only use like two gigs a month usually. So, but I think we're just going
to crystal clear.
I am. In 5 minutes, it'll crap out again. This is what's been going on all freaking week. Sorry, people. I'm angry about it.
Well, you should be.
You know, if I had an alternative, I'd use it. But, so the next blizzard-type weather, it just blah, 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 blah. It's more snow that we can't have or need or want. Yeah. So we're stuck with it. Get over it. If you haven't checked the late night QRM G+ community page, please go up there and look. Nimbus sent me a video which is very funny. It's actually our local television station in New Hampshire, Channel 9. And I'm thinking it must have come from Channel 9, but somebody went up there and did a weather report, and it's great. It really is great. So check it out, please. Where the hell are we?
Michael now.
Michael's got blizzard warnings himself.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of one right now, actually. It's just blowing like crap outside, but you know, it's another blizzard in Copper Harbor. Today's pretty bad, I will say that. We're not getting a ton of snowfall. During the week we got a couple of feet, but today we're probably going to get less than a foot out of this, but it's 35 to 45 mile an hour winds, and it really is zero visibility. The bus lines shut down yesterday. They're not planning on starting up again until sometime tomorrow. A lot of US-2 and a lot of the other is shut down altogether. And we were taking running starts at Snowdrifts with the family truckster today. We're going around. But, you know, it's just life in Copper Harbor. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had it pretty easy this
winter it's been pretty light. You know, yeah. November we had 6 feet. That was pretty intense for November. And this last week's been pretty bad. As a matter of fact, I loaned the second Jeep to the postmaster because he's the one that lives out near the lighthouse. And, oh, has that road gotten bad. That's the one where we had the park ranger with his son sitting on his shoulders and the snow was still above their heads.
Yeah.
That's the road we're talking about. Yeah, well, it's gotten that bad again. And I've been actually helping him because he's been going, clearing that road at 10 o'clock at night and 4 in the morning, twice a day, now trying to keep it open, and that's not enough.
That's the road that he lives out by the lighthouse that we saw from your house, that lighthouse? Because there's several lighthouses. And
right, no, it's...
How does he get to there? He doesn't go up your road to get there. Is there one that's further inland that goes out to that point? Because that kind of curves around and comes back toward you, correct?
Yeah, it's actually out past my driveway.
So he does drive past your house to get home? Because you get up to that cul-de-sac and there's a road that goes on, but it's like a dirt road.
That's correct.
And that's the one he takes.
No, it's actually not far from my driveway.
Oh, what? The lighthouse?
The road to the lighthouse. Yeah.
Okay.
It's intentionally not marked because a lot of people think, oh, it's a lighthouse. We're going to drive out there. And it's a two-track. It's not a public road. It's the driveway for the people that live out there.
Oh, okay. So it's even worse than the dirt road that goes beyond the cul-de-sac.
Yeah. It's let's put it this way. This time of year, you want to coordinate it. You don't want to meet somebody going the other way on that road because there's nowhere to go. You've got 6-8 feet of snow on either side of you.
Wow.
And you've got one lane. Wow. So somebody's going to back up a long ways.
Mm. You probably can't hear me right now, can you?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. It was. I'm constantly doing speed tests here, and it was just sitting there looking at me like I was, yeah, wait, what do you want?
But yeah, it was, you know, 8 below. I hadn't fired up the other Jeep in a couple of weeks, and it was buried under several feet of snow. I kind of fought my way to the door, opened it up, turned the key, started right up, and it walked its way right out of the snow where it was. So
nice.
Rah, 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 rah. It's going to be a good vehicle for my oldest son.
Hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
you. Just fine, sir.
I'm surprised I can hear you because I've got a 0.87 download speed right now. Guys, okay. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Now we can hear you. Now you dropped out for a bit.
Welcome to Late Night Can You Hear Me? The new podcast. God. This is sickening.
Welcome to Whose Line Is It? Yeah. Late Night Edition. Yeah, I can edition.
Incredible.
See, this is what Doug was talking about when, you know, normal guys talking late at night, except that we're fighting technology.
Yes.
Three engineers fighting technology.
Really? Right. I got a whopping 1.33 MIPS down in that last exchange. I'm surprised you guys were coming in clear because it was 1.33 MIPS down. Okay. I'm sure we'll be hearing about this throughout the night because the only way I can feel like I'm actually talking to those guys is if I do speed tests to see where the hell I am.
Maybe we should start our own internet provider company.
Well, you know, Michael's has experience in that. We just have to get him over here. And I was seriously
expand PastyNet out to Jeffrey.
I was seriously thinking, hell, yo, Brockway to Monadnock. You think there's a clear line of sight there?
We can make it work.
If you could find somebody, you know, in Comcast range, or excuse me, Charter range, because Comcast out by us is the big one.
Yeah.
If you could find somebody, if they're only a mile away, I have some equipment that would get you connected.
Oh, I know you do. You were showing us on how you guys got that one Ingress portal, which I won't talk about right now. You can probably
talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
I don't even know whether that was listed in there or not, but...
Yeah, it is. Oh, okay. Well, it's part of that subject.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, dare I try to start this next conversation topic?
Go for it.
I got my selfie stick!
Woo!
It's great! All you have to do is you just got to grab it, manipulate it a little bit, and it gets long. And it's got an attachment that you can put your phone on.
Oh.
And then you can, it's got a little remote control so you can take pictures. So, you know, you can stick your phone on the end of your selfie stick and then take pictures that look more natural than, you know, holding your arm out.
Yeah, right.
So, it's pretty cool. And I haven't used it that much. I still haven't had a chance to play with my selfie stick much.
Okay, well, now that's uncomfortable.
And I know when I told Joel, you and Debbie that I got the selfie stick, and I actually showed you guys my selfie stick.
Uh-huh.
And Debbie said,
ooh, she needs to get one, too.
I want one.
And sure enough, she has a selfie stick that she's been playing with.
Wow, really?
Indeed. And it has a remote control, too.
And the real name of it is the Monopole.
Yes.
That's monopod. Not much better.
The monopod.
Monopod? I think, monopod.
I'm looking at the package right now.
Okay, monopod. Yes, you've got it in front of it.
Okay, that is better.
Yes, it's the monopod.
Right, and so it's pretty cool. I got it because I thought it would be kind of cool.
The long, smooth shaft.
Damn straight. Oh, I wish I had that set up.
That's from Austin Powers. Oh,
well, I was thinking of the song Shaft.
Okay.
But yes, it works very well. I was thinking it would be great for video.
Right.
So you could turn it on and take videos of yourself, be the cameraman and the person. Especially with it doesn't matter Android or iPhone. With the front-facing camera, you can line up your pictures and everything. So, of course.
There he is.
Yeah. I should be okay.
I mean, you went completely quiet.
Yeah.
It happens.
Fuck you, Failpoint.
I was waiting for that. It was coming. You can feel it building.
Insert the please stand by bumper here.
The restless middle finger syndrome is high tonight here.
Getting very restless.
And pointing straight at the Fail Point building in Peterborough.
Yes, and they're pointing it right back at you. Guess whose finger's bigger?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately. But it's not as big as my selfie stick. So I gotta play with that a little more, the selfie stick. And there was another thing, and I don't have the name of it. I will find it. Maybe I'll do it a little later. But one of the things that was introduced at CES, there was a group that came out with a set of lenses for the iPhone. And instead of trying, most of these lenses that you can get to put over top of the lens, you can't have a case on the iPhone. Because it requires you to have a bare iPhone. And, most people don't like to have their phone outside of a case. Mm-hmm. Well, this company makes the case, and then it's got the attachment for the lenses right on the case. And they have several very pro-like lenses. They actually make pro cinema lenses. And now they're doing these. And I'm interested in those because it looks kind of neat, especially if you can get a wide angle lens. That's right. If you're doing stuff like action stuff and things like that, it's much better to have a wide angle lens where you can see more and things are a little bit easier. Or if you're trying to mount it in a car, so you could do if you could do one of our Joel and Barry trips or something on video.
Right.
It would be much better if it was a wide-angle lens. So, I don't know. I may have to look into that. Because we do have a place to post videos. We can use the Google Plus Hangout page for that. We don't even have to set up a special RSS feed or something. We'll just point people and say, here, go look at the Google Plus thing. We put videos there.
Right.
Yeah, So I'm going to look into that, and I'll get the name of it. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I did take note of it, and I sent myself an email with the name of the manufacturer. Okay, enough with my selfie stick. We'll put that away for a while. And now we go to Michael, and this week on the new Uber workshop.
Hi, this is Michael from the new Uber workshop. Still having all 10 fingers. I'm working at it. But
I love that.
It's kind of a reference to the latest best episode ever there. But
okay.
But no, seriously, I was out in the workshop tonight in the 10 below temperatures in the workshop, firing up the table saw. What could go wrong here? But it was necessary. Oh, my computer just went to sleep. Shouldn't have done that. All right. In the Uper household, we have what we call the I almost said the real last name there. The Uper dormitory. It is a 900 square foot cabin. I'm not kidding about that. And as much as I'd like to say it's bigger on the inside than it looks like on the outside, it still is a 900 square foot cabin.
We can verify that. And based on the size of this Christmas tree, it went down to a 500 square foot.
But because of that, it's got one bedroom. It's a very big bedroom, but it's one bedroom, and there are four of us. So we have a couple of sets of bunk beds. It's just what it takes to live up here right now. And as you know, my boys are actually men at this point. they're not kids anymore.
Yeah.
And constantly going up and down those ladders have destroyed them. One of them I've been able to rebuild. The one that my youngest son goes up and down, I'm on the third ladder that I have built out here in the garage.
Okay.
And I've gotten to the point now where the 1x3 hardened wood steps for the ladder, the rungs to the ladder, are not cutting it. And as of tonight, I'm cutting down 2x4s. I'm making 2x4 rungs for the ladder.
Wow. Have you thought of just a small step ladder next to the bed?
No, but I have thought about going down to the mining machine shops down in Calumet, a.k.a. Red Jacket, and just having those guys weld up a steel ladder.
that might work.
And, you know, darn it, probably would be pretty reasonable. These guys, I used to do all my own metalwork and my own welding and stuff, but I go down there, I mean, there's this old building, old mining building right next to the high school, and it was one of the mining repair shops, and it's still a metalworking shop, and it's called Universal Metal. And you go in there with a sketch, if you can find, you know, there's just rooms and rooms of mining materials and machinery, and you look for the arc, you know, light somewhere in the building. Oh, there's flashing over there. So you kind of weed your way through, shield your eyes until you get the attention of the guy welding away on something, and you hand him a sketch. And he'll look at it. Yeah, I'll get back to you by Friday. They built all the brackets for my tower next to the garage here for $10.
Oh, jeez. Ah! Really?
So, I mean, other than taking the time to go to town when you find these guys, you can't do it yourself for anything close to that.
No. Jeez, that's great.
So, yeah, you literally you just sketch out what you want, go down to one of these guys and say, this is what I want. Okie dokie.
Wow. Nice.
But yes, I have reverted to going to cutting down 2x4s for the steps and the ladder, and we'll see if that cuts it for a while. I don't know.
I should. 2x4s?
The jury's still out.
I think so. So, And,
But, you know, none of this Norm stuff, I didn't, as Dr. Dave said, I didn't have a laser-guided table saw with the built-in dado cutter on it. It's just, basically, just clapped two boards together, took the old one, clapped it on top of the new one, figured out where I had to set the brace, and went, and I was done.
Has Norm got his show on anymore? I know he's still on This Old House, but the Yankee Workshop, I think, is no more, is it? I haven't seen it
in
a long time. Of course, now he's probably got a 3D wood generator where he just, you know...
3D wood generator. It takes wood pulp and prints it in 3D.
Yeah. Perfect furniture with the varnish and everything on it. Oh, wow.
Well, you know, Bob, now we just use CAD files.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you probably could do that with pulp.
Yeah, you could. You know. Let me get out the 3D scanner. Okay, I've got a perfect image in my camera. I mean, just load this iPhone into I'm trying to think of a nice eye something to call it.
Oh, hey,
the eye pulp. The eye pulp.
Eye pulp. Yeah, we used to have to remember because he used to always go out on the Yankee Workshop. You know, in the beginning, he would go out to some store or some place, you know, like an antique store or something, and he'd look over something. Goes, we're going to reproduce this, and he'd take all the measurements and everything, and come back, and then that would be the next project on the Yankee Workshop. You know, something he looked at. Now he's like,
come with me to the dockyards while I go to this shady ship.
And he just snaps.
Talk to this guy from Tanzania. See this wood here?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just take this under the under the radar. You never saw this wood. It didn't happen. And yeah. I'm sorry, we're stepping on each other. Dang it.
That's all right. But now he goes out there and he just snaps a picture with his iPhone and comes back and loads it into the 3D eye pulper. There you go. He's got furniture. You can't hear me, can you?
No, we can.
No, okay. We can't.
We heard. The only thing I did hear was 3D eye pulper.
Yeah, I said he just goes out and takes a picture of the furniture and then comes back and feeds the picture into the 3D eye pulper and boom, he's got furniture. And you didn't hear me then either, did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Insert laugh here. Okay.
Well, I need Jason here with his laugh track.
There you go.
Oh, God.
We may get that 17-hour show out yet.
I know. It'd just be from blips and blurps and farts on the internet.
Oh, God. Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yes,
we can.
Okay. Whoa, what a lag. There was like a major lag. Yeah, like. I say, what a lag, and you answer me 5 seconds later. 3, 4.
Well, I was thinking about the answer.
Okay.
I didn't want to get it wrong.
Oh, God, this is hideous. Oh, what a show. What
you can always
show.
Try Skype.
That's not the problem, though.
I don't think that's the problem. We could try it, but, God. Now, I'm afraid if I bring up Skype, it's going to spend 45 minutes updating. Because I haven't had it on in months. Huh?
That is a real good point.
You will have to get it. Plus, Skype does use more bandwidth.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, we don't want that.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. All right. So, Michael.
Yes.
Pause.
What point are we on?
Studio V. You have heat.
Yes. Yes, finally. I have gone several weeks without heat in here to the point where it got impossible to work. I mean, I do have backup electric heat in here, but I can't afford to run that, especially in these temperatures. So I've taken what little toys I need at the very bare minimum, and I've been working out of the training room of the fire hall, which I may or may not have talked about already. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself.
No.
And that's actually been an okay experience, except that, as I've mentioned before, we're super busy in EMS, and I've actually wound up responding from the fire hall, which cuts the response time down.
I guess.
Yes, this week we reached critical level. I knew I had to do a lot of extra work on the driveway to get a propane truck back, but with the cold snap, and I think the gauge on my tank had stuck. Because I went from about 20% down to 7% at the beginning of the week, which I made the emergency phone call. And wound up working Wednesday and most of Wednesday and part of Thursday scraping that driveway down. And we were down to 1% on Thursday afternoon when the propane truck arrived.
Man.
That was for the house. Now, as I said, the garage has been out of propane for a couple of weeks. Mm. But I was just figuring, you know, it's the office. I'll just make do until we top off the house.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I have sweated this out every year since we changed companies. When I switched providers for propane, I said, hey, guys, you know, I've got a 1,000-gallon tank. You want to bring a 1,000 in. We don't want to deal with refilling in February. And the local guys are like, gosh, we wish we could do that. Corporate's not going to buy it until, you know, you prove that you're using enough propane to justify a 1,000-gallon tank. Well, this was, oh, man. I mean, I literally spent 2 days prepping the driveway, and even then it was really dicey. He tried backing up And in the process of backing up, he destroyed his passenger side mirror on the same tree that I took the driver's side mirror off on the family Truckster, by the way. And so then he decided to just drive in. And he said, well, you know, I should be able to make it in. If I can't turn it around, at least I can get you propane for the house before we have to get a tank retriever to pull this thing out. And on that very first turn, he went off the mat. And I'm just like, oh, no. But he managed to back it up, get back on the mat. This guy's just an incredible driver.
Wow.
Got back there, filled up the house, so now the house is good till July. And trimmed a couple trees for me as he turned around and got back out to the garage.
Surprised he turned around.
And then he said, you know, I really, yeah, he got it turned around. And then he thought, you know, I really should go through the circular driveway and line up better for your garage. And I'm like, you really want to do this? You know, I'm sure we got enough line. I can just pull it out for you. And no, I'm going to pull around. So he pulls around. He plows through a snowdrift with this thing, gets lined up with the garage. And there must be some sort of policy, because I said, you know, I'll open up the garage door. You can just pull that propane line right through the garage and hook up to the tank. Uh-huh. And it was a clear shot.
Right.
And he's like, I wish I could do that, but I can't take a charged propane line through a building. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no. And he's looking at my driveway, and it's not this way everywhere, but on either side of my driveway, it is literally 8 feet up. So he grabs the line fireman style over his shoulder, and I'm pulling it off the reel and feeding him, and he's sinking up to his waist in snow.
Unbelievable.
Wow. I owe this guy big time. But yeah. He got back, he filled up the garage, and as we're loading the truck up, you know, putting the hose back on the truck, I looked at him, I said, you know, so-and-so, I didn't sleep too well last night because I'm thinking, you know, now it's a corporate deal. It used to be local. You call the local shop, you talk to the actual driver and said, hey, I need propane. Now You call an 800 number and God knows where, and you hope they get the message to the local shop. And I was saying, you know, at the time I called, I thought I still had a week left, and I realized that I wasn't going to make it till Friday. And I didn't sleep too well because I didn't know how you're going to get back that driveway. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? Quite frankly, I didn't sleep too well either because I knew what I was going to have to drive down today.
All right.
And he said, I know you wanted it when we switched companies. I'm going to corporate this summer. We're pulling the tank out and putting a 1,000-gallon tank in, so we don't have to do this another February. This is three Februarys we've done this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and on top of it, I'm having to take time off of work to clear the driveway for them. It's one thing to, I mean, I can buzz back and forth with the truck and the Jeep all the time, but it does build up a mat, and that mat will go, you know, it's going to collapse underneath the weight of a propane truck.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, but yes, the house is set till summer now.
Good.
And not a second too soon, because with these 10 below temperatures and 45-mile-an-hour winds, we would have had to leave the house, and I would have had to drain it.
Wow. Wow. So just in the nick of time.
Just in the nick of time.
Wow.
But, yeah, we're set till summer now.
Good. Wow.
Phew.
So
now I got to clean up my office, because for the last couple weeks now, I've been, you know, just coming in here, grabbing just what I need and dumping stuff off.
Yep.
So there's piles of stuff everywhere.
Kind of looks like the QRM studios, the plush QRM studios. Plush with crap.
Right next to the sign that says keep it clean?
Yes.
Or keep it neat?
Keep this area clean. yes. Well, I'm going to skip the next topic. It starts off with, Semi solved my internet problem.
Not.
Yeah, so
I'm thinking you might want to hold off.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hold off on that one. But I do have a snow story, which I didn't tell you guys, and it's not in the show notes. I'll have to add it. But I'm lucky I'm actually up in the QRM studios, because yesterday I went to go upstairs up here, and I'm, of course, the QRM studios is over our garage. It's an office over the garage and has its own separate set of stairways in the back of the garage. It has a door, and I went back there to get in, and lo and behold, there's about 5 inches of ice in front of the door. And the door is not going to open. because I do have a slight leaking problem with the top roof, which I know it needs to be replaced. It's old, and it's going to get replaced this spring. But yes, it's ice dammed, and the water is going down, and it's actually going down inside the wall, the outside wall, and going down and into the garage, where it then freezes. If you look at the garage is just basically you know, outside wood on framing. So inside you see the framing and the wood and icicles right now, very thick icicles, where the water's coming down and in, you know, going on the concrete floor and freezing. So the only reason I'm in here today is because for Christmas I bought my wife one of these little electric space heaters. You know, with it's small, but it does the job, and it's made for a shop or whatever, but it's still small, so I stuck it out there pointing down. It's got a built-in fan, and started melting the ice. I said, all I'm going to do is melt the water, and then it's going to flow somewhere else and freeze. But I didn't even think about it. It's got a fan in it, and so it melted it and evaporated the water. So
nice.
So it took me a couple hours. I just sat it out there, you know, melted some ice, opened the door a little bit, and moved it down to where it was sticking again, and let it sit there for a while, and then opened the door. So I find the door doesn't all the way open all the way yet, but it opens enough that I can get in and out now. But I still got about 5 inches of ice behind it that I was trying to chip away with a digger bar. Two things about that. A, I'm worried about hitting the concrete floor with the digger bar. I don't want to crack it any more than it already is. And
all right.
B, have you ever handled a digger bar when it's like minus one out?
Painfully yes. Cold.
Even with gloves on.
Yes.
You can only do it for like 5 minutes before you say, I got to put this thing down. My hands are frozen. So... yeah, so the spring, it's funny because we do have a guy that comes and does work on our house now. We found him last fall, and he was up here and he was doing some replacement on wood, and he was up on a ladder. He was looking and he goes, you know, yeah, that it's the only roof we haven't replaced on the house.
Right.
He goes, that roof definitely needs replacing. And I said, I know. He goes, well, you know, if you can, we can arrange it. Of course, it was ice cold. This was right before Christmas.
He right.
Says, yeah, I can give you a price, and we could probably get it done in the next couple of weeks. And I said, the problem is I don't have the money for
right.
doing it right now. I got to save up for it a little bit. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, you know, I wouldn't wait too long. And then, of course, he gave me the price, and then about 3 days later, we got our first snow. And so it's snow covered now, and it's been snow covered ever since then. It's gonna wait.
Spring's good.
It's gonna wait till spring.
I was gonna say spring.
But meanwhile, I got to deal with the ice damming that's happening. I do have a roof rake, and I've been trying to rake that section where it's leaking off to keep the snow down. But it's still got a nice thick coat of ice up there. And unless I get some of those salt pucks and throw them up there, I'm afraid I'm gonna be dealing with this for some time, unless the snow goes away. So that was just an interesting little thing I had to deal with this week. And I hate to see what my electric bill is going to be. Matter of fact, my wife goes, you're going to burn that thing out. I said, well, you're going up to Peterborough to the drugstore today, right? Stop at Ocean State and get another one, because that's where I bought it. So we got a backup one. And I was tempted to put both of them on at the same time, but
plug them in two separate circuits. Yeah. That way they don't trip the breaker.
Yeah, but I can already imagine. I mean, the electric rates went up already. People at work have been complaining because it's like the rates almost doubled, and so they're, you know, and I haven't gotten mine. I'm on the budget plan, but I know it's that month, I think, where we adjust until August when they adjust again. Mm-hmm. And between the cold winter we've been having and And the new rate, I'm going to be going up again. I know. Hopefully not double, because I can't afford double. Something's going to have to give.
Well, yeah. It's just one of those things where you cannot not have the electric, so you say, well, I'm going to
turn things
up.
Off, though. Like, we do without electric heat upstairs, unfortunately. That's what cranks it usually. We have electric baseboard heat. Uh-oh, you there?
You remember when you were, although you had talked at one point in time, and again, it's always, everything costs money, unfortunately. Yeah. But a pellet stove in place of the wood stove in the kitchen, that would heat the entire upstairs.
It could, yes, if I leave the fan on the, it would still have to rise up and go upstairs.
No, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to cut a couple of risers, you know, but realistically, you could move it where it would definitely, it would heat your entire upstairs of your house, a nice pellet stove.
Or put it in the fireplace I have upstairs.
That's right. What the hell am I thinking? Just put a pellet stove in up there.
Yeah, it's in the master bedroom. We got a fireplace.
Or one of the gas ones.
Yeah.
You have in the family room. That would be awesome up there.
Yeah. I have to talk to my wife about that. She might be seriously interested in doing that.
Because then you just put a little fan, like a box fan, that just blows the heat into the bedroom. Yep. Shoot, man, it'd be a fraction of the price.
Yeah.
Of electric. Yeah.
That might be not a bad idea. Might have to think about it. Because we don't even have on all
the... Got to save money. It's important.
Yeah. We don't have the electric heat on in all the bedrooms because we don't use them all. So it's really only on in the master bedroom and in our bathroom.
The two bathrooms.
Right. And we keep them low, too.
Exactly, so.
Yeah. But right. Still, when it's, you know... going into the negative numbers at night, that the electric heat's going on. I don't care. You can have it set at 60 degrees and it's going on.
It's on and it's staying on.
Yeah. So,
it's a big giant resistor.
Yeah. And Michael, I got to tell you, after I heard your story about the propane on the podcast that shall not be named.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you because that same day I had propane delivered to my house. And, you know, the truck came up and pulled alongside the garage, and the guy went back there and came back out after he filled the tank and gave Sammy some doggy treats and said, okay, thanks, you're good.
That would be so nice.
That's my story of propane delivery. Although I do have to cut a trail for him. Yeah, I have to snowblow back there to give him a path to the tank, but we only have I forget what kind of size. I want to say it's a 100-gallon tank. It's not big at all.
You're ready. If you put another, if you were to put a gas stove upstairs, I would up that to a 500.
Yes,
or actually the 350, at least that.
Yeah, they would either do that or put two tanks back there, or I'd be happy with. Well, yeah, I would like to go more propane on other things too,
and just
get one of the 1,000-gallon submarine ones.
Yeah,
fill it up once, and it's good for a year.
You're good for a year. Gas cooking and gas hot water heater.
Yeah, but
yep.
But I'd even put the I'd even put the outside cooker on it. So I don't have to go out and buy the little versions. Hell, I'd put a spigot on for brewing beer. That would be great. Yeah, I have to think about that too. Oh well. So,
yeah.
Let's see. I had to tell you guys that I had my health coach call for the first one of the year because I have to for our insurance at the company that shall not be named. We do have Cigna. I can say that. Uh-huh. And they have this thing, in order for us to get some of our money that the company graciously gives us to help with health insurance, we have to talk to a health coach. And the health coach, if you're healthy and you're good, you only have to, you first of all, you have to get your biometrics taken. So they do blood work and they do all this stuff and that goes to the health coach, and then the health coach looks that over, and you have to talk to them a couple times a day. This is a healthy person, or at least twice. And if you do, and they say, okay, you're good, then you get your money.
Okay.
But if you're not healthy, a.k.a. you've got pretty much a lifelong disease, like diabetes, well, I'm going to be talking to the health coach all year long. Because I have diabetes, and it's never going to get better.
All right.
So, but, you know, then I have to set these goals. And then I have to obtain these goals. And if I obtain these goals over a three-month period, then I get my money. But I still have to continue to talk to the health coach for the rest of the year. So I opted. The coach I had last year was nice, so I opted. In December, when I last talked to her, I said, well, I'll use you again next year instead of getting a new person. She goes, so that would be fine. So, you know, we made the appointment for January, and she called, and she goes, well, we have to treat this like this is the first time we've ever met. And I said, you got to be kidding me. She goes, no, I have to ask all the questions, and you have to fill out the little interview thing online. And, you know, get my metrics and biometrics into her. So, but the first question she asked was the question that I like to refer to as we want to take your guns away from you question. And that question is, the first question is, have you been depressed lately? Do you feel sad a lot? Do you feel like people are against you? Yeah, that question. And and that's part of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, that they started to have to ask that. And pretty much anytime you go see a doctor now, may not be the actual doctor, but it might be the nurse who weighs you and, you know, checks your blood pressure and everything, they'll ask you that question. And basically, that's the question that, you may not be of sound mind to own a weapon, and we may have to take that weapon away from you. So I'm just telling you, as a precautionary measure, if you are a gun enthusiast, if you own a weapon of some type and you want to keep it, you're never depressed. Nothing's bothering you. Just go along, because if you just make one instance of that, then they're going to refer you to some psychologist or some kind of mental health group.
Fruit Loop.
And the first thing they're going to do is come in and try to take your weapons. Do you own any weapons? Why, yes. Yes, I do. Now you don't.
And there you have it.
So, just a warning. You're not depressed. You're
never
happy
depressed.
As a clam.
And I'm always smiley and always cheerful.
Right.
And I love everybody.
I do too.
You got to add that sound clip on your phone. I'm happy. I'm feeling glad. I've
yeah.
Got sunshine in a bag.
So that was my thing, and I've started a new year with my health coach, and it was funny because she also said, are you having any problems hearing or seeing? And she rattled off a couple. I went, what? And she goes, have you? She started, and then she stopped because she knows me. We've been doing this for a year now. She goes, she starts laughing. She goes, you. So, we have fun. Gotta make it fun, you know?
We got it, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next, you know.
Otherwise, depression sets in and they'll take away all your butter knives.
I can't do without my butter knives. No siree.
No. How are you going to put butter on your toast? You got to use your fingers.
Jeez. You know, you never know when, you know, you never know when you're going to be attacked by a stick of butter.
You gotta defend yourself.
You gotta defend yourself against butter.
If grape jam steps out of line, buddy, I'm gonna use that same knife that I use on the butter to spread you around too.
There you go. Yeah. Of course you could use a spoon to take care of that danger right there.
Ooh, I don't have that technique down.
Yeah. All right, let's continue.
Yeah.
Michael, yes, a couple of weeks ago, well, we heard the news. Michael?
Yeah, and I brought this up partially, anyhow, on one of my recent episodes, but Radio Shack is going away. And most recently, even like in the last 10 years recently, I mean, they used to have the tagline of, you got questions, we've got answers. Uh-huh. You know, along with the memories of good, better, best and all that and all their catalogs. But mostly in the last 10 years, you walk in there, it's no longer that knowledgeable person wanting your address and name and everything. but you go in there, and my saying's been, you got questions, we've got blank stares. Because they never knew what the hell you were talking about. That's when you walked right in the door. And unless you wanted a DirecTV or a Dish Network dish, or if you wanted something for your phone, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, yeah, the rest of the stuff's in the back of the store in those bins. Yeah, you, thanks a lot.
Or
you'd get, well, you'd have to talk to Dwight, and he's not working today. He's the only one who knows that nerdy stuff.
Yeah. But one thing I forgot to mention in that episode, and I've been a long-time customer of that organization, but the Radio Shack store nearest to where I grew up, and that was still a 10-mile drive each way, so I had in the nerdy young days of my life, I had to wait till one of my parents could drive me to the next town over. Uh-huh. But on numerous occasions, this store was located next to another store that they really should have moved away from, because I don't know what issue this store had with the, shall I say, the local family, but they kept getting firebombed. Not the Radio Shack, but the store next door would get firebombed, and it would take out the Radio Shack. I'd come to town, and all of a sudden, there'd just be this, you know, charred remains of the Tandy store, and like, oh, not again. Anyway, and then it always rebuilt in the store next to this other store. Mm-hmm. And this went on for years.
Jeez. Oh, man, you'd think they'd move.
Yeah, you'd think so. Yeah, it's our lease, man. We're going to stay here. Like, what?
Well, they're hardly the store they used to be, because, you know, you can still get, well, as Joel found out recently, right, you can still get parts. But I remember Radio Shack when you used to go to the back of the store. Uh-huh. And there'd be shelves and shelves and shelves of components and,
yep.
you know, parts and, you know, just all sorts of switches.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, it would just be all in the back of the store. And you could sit there for, you know, a couple hours and do it. And that's pretty much whittled down to, what, two or three drawers now?
That's been my experience, like I said, when I had gone with after Debbie and I had stopped up to see you and your beautiful bride, mm-hmm. which was, I went in here looking for a 1.85 k-ohm resistor, plus minus 5%, but I wasn't going to tell these guys that. I walked in there, and I was surprised your Radio Shack was still open. We left, and we were driving home, and I went, holy crap, the lights are on.
And it's going to remain open, too.
I know. It's one of, like, the four.
I was surprised.
That's going to stay open. So I said to Debbie, hey, I got to stop in here. I said, I got to get a resistor. And she's like, for what? And I said, for the VATS system in Goldfinger. But so I went ahead and so I walked in the door. And Goldfinger. There she is. So, I went in there, and the two fellows, very pleasant, when standing there, and say, hi, welcome to Radio Shack. Thanks for shopping with us. I'm like, I haven't bought anything yet. And the guy's like, well, thanks for walking in. And I said, well, perhaps you can help me. I need a 1.85 k-ohm resistor, minimum of a half watt, preferably a 1 watt. Plus or minus 2%. And Michael, right like you said, this look like I had just asked them for the Imidium Pu-36 explosive space modulator.
Where's the boom?
Exactly. There's supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
There it is. And Debbie was standing there looking, and she just looks up at me and rolls her eyes like, you had to hit him with all the numbers, didn't you? And I'm like, how else do you ask for one? And he said, "You what?" And I said, "I need a resistor. Do you have, like, a selection of resistors?" And there used to be a selection of resistors when I was a teenager. And he said, "Well, let's come back here." And sure enough, Barry, like you said, there were some drawers. And a big, huge metal case with all these drawers. And I'm thinking, wow, now, granted, he hasn't pulled one of them open. And I'm thinking, this is going to be hundreds of thousands of resistors. And you pull the drawer open, and there's, like, one. And one there, and maybe three in this one. And I went, you got, like, basically 28 resistors in the cabinet. They could hold 7,000, but okay. And so he's like, what are you looking for? So I told him again. He says, I need a 1.8 k-ohm resistor. I says, well, you know, plus or minus 2%, half a watt, 1 watt preferably. Oh, okay. And I said, but I said, I got some wiggle room on that, obviously, as far as the rating. Mm-hmm. But I said, but I can't go smaller than a half watt. All right. What's the watt for? I said, basically, it keeps it from burning out if you're going to be pumping a shitload of juice through it on a constant basis. That's why I want a 1 watt resistor. Oh, I said, the lower the wattage, the hotter it'll get. The hotter it gets, the sooner it'll burn out. And he's like, right. That's all I got was right. So he starts looking, and we're looking through the bins and looking through the bins, and the guy whips open the other bin. I said, that's not going to be in that bin. I said, not according to the tag. Well, I want to look in here. I said, that's diodes. And I said, I need a resistor. Oh, all right. And I'll close that one, and he opens it up. And I said, those are coil transformers. I don't need one of those, so you might as well close that drawer. And he keeps looking down there, and he said, and opens that one. I said, wow, you guys have oscillating crystals, but I don't need one of those either. Why don't we stick to the resistor drawers? And sure enough, we start going, and I found a packet of resistors that were 1.5. And he said, oh, well, we'll take that, and we got this other drawer here, and we'll combine this, and that was a half-watt resistor. Mm. We'll put it with this one right here, this point, and he breaks out his Android phone. He's trying to figure out, do some mathematics on it, and we'll combine them. I said, yeah, we'll solder them in series, except there's one small problem with the theory. And he said, well, what's that? I said, well, the first thing I said that I needed, it had to be at least a half a watt. The one that you have over there to get it up to 1.8 is a quarter watt. Well, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So if you solder those two together and pump the same amount of electricity through them both, which one do you think is going to let go first? The half watt or the quarter watt, which I don't want? Oh, I didn't think about that. No shit. I'll take the 1.5 and we'll make it work. So, but I did get the blank stare. He was actually, I would say, 45% knowledgeable. And he was really trying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought him over, and then my wife picked up a couple of other miscellaneous. Oh, we got a weather radio, which I've wanted one for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, of course, I was waiting for what Michael had said in the podcast that shall not be named. I was waiting for the, okay, can I have your name? Social Security number, address, name of your firstborn child, where were you born, the name of the doctor, you know, all the stupid questions they ask you when you get ready to pay. Mm-hmm. And I was going to use the one that, Michael, you used in the virtual year, but you said you had used for years, which was, shit, I just forgot what it is.
Fenton Q. Farton Marker.
That's Fenton Q. Farton Marker.
Q for Quentin. Fenton Quentin.
And I had actually remembered it because Debbie and I had listened to it on the way up the Barry's. So I was fresh in my mind, and I'm like, here we go. I'm going to get to use it. And she took out her MasterCard. I'm like, Because it had her name on it. So much for Fenton. I couldn't use it. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised that, A, they still had a resistor or two, a couple of oscillating crystals and some Zener diodes, and they're staying open. So, yeah, I was real pleased. It's a shame that I got to drive to friggin' Monadnock to go to Radio Shack. But
yeah, because I found out that the one in Merrimack, I don't know about down in... Well, there's one in the mall. That'd probably stay open, won't it?
That's a great question, and I kind of have my doubts.
But I went into Merrimack, where the other one was, which is a fairly new store, because that whole area was just recently built, the shopping center. They moved it from DW Highway. This is boring for people who don't know the area. And they moved it over to Exit 11. And they built this whole new shopping center. And that happens to be the shopping center where my favorite Thai restaurant is, where we have Thai Day. I go there once a week to pick up the Thai order for our Thai club. If we have Thai Thursday or Thai Friday, depending on which day is the last day of the week at work. And I went there and this past Thursday, and I'm looking at the Radio Shack, and they got signs all over it, closing, everything on sale, you know, reduced and all this stuff. And so I went into the Thai place, which is right next door, and it's a small Thai restaurant. They don't have much seating in there, but I'm sure they do a lot of takeout, but the restaurant is always full. And right. So I asked, I walk in, it's kind of like, because I go there every week and I usually have a large order, I go in there and it's kind of like Cheers. I walk in and it's like, Barry, Barry, oh Barry, Barry's here. And it's not Barry, it's Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie. And
lice, fried lice.
And they automatically get my Thai tea. I get a free Thai tea from them every week. And so my order wasn't ready yet because they were very busy, so I was waiting there, and I was talking to one of the people that worked there. I said, so you guys gonna get the Radio Shack next door and expand? And she goes, we're trying. She goes, yeah, the manager is already in negotiations. But then I heard that the Verizon store, which is, there's a shopping center, Shaw's shopping center, Shaw supermarket shopping center right behind it. And there's a Verizon store there. They don't like the location there, so they're trying to get into the Radio Shack. So I don't know, Sweet Ginger or Verizon, who's gonna win?
Good question. We'll have to debate that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Just what the world needs, another supersized cell phone store.
Yeah, really. Why? Meanwhile, you know, Sweet Ginger, which could expand, due to expand because of the, you know, they're doing a great business. Yeah, they need the room, but oh well, we'll see. I hope Sweet Ginger doesn't decide to move, because it's convenient and it's nice, and I love their pad thai, crystal pad thai. It's the best.
I know you mentioned it once, twice, or a couple hundred times. You love the pad thai.
I love the crystal pad thai, man.
It's, you're making me hungry, man.
Yeah. And matter of fact, one of the guys, we started, before we used to run around, the group at work was small enough that we'd just run around and take people's orders in the morning. Well, it's now, one time I did it, it took me all frickin' morning. I said, I'm supposed to be working. I'm not supposed to be running around taking people's orders for lunch. So we created an email list. And so the day before, Mike, one of the guys I work with, he sends out the email to everybody, and then everybody emails in. And if we get an email from you, you're in. If you don't, then you're not in that week. Right. And so it's a lot easier. Well, one of the guys was there on Thursday and ordered crystal pad thai, and Mike placed the order and then found out he was sick on Thursday and he wasn't in. So he goes, I don't know. I'm sorry, you guys. I said, no problem. An extra crystal pad thai? It's mine. I'm taking it home. So that's what I had last night for dinner on Friday. We were doing leftovers, and I said, I'm eating my crystal pad thai. And I was happy.
No,
I'm making the Mikey bad tie tomorrow night. I figured I'd save your ears.
The Mikey bad. Oh, it's too bad you're not doing it tonight, so we have the sound effects.
Well, I thought you guys were getting tired of that.
The Foley effects.
Never.
I love Jason's. His up in this brain where he was doing the Mikey impression there. He was cooking in the. Have you heard that one yet, Mike?
I don't think I've heard that one yet.
Oh, yeah. He was cooking in the kitchen and he says, oh, that's Michael in the background cooking. It was great. It was good. It was fun.
I've been catching up kind of, you know. Each podcaster, I've been binging on each of them and catching up.
You marathon on each podcast.
When I get in catch-up mode, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been like I said, I moved all the short ones up to my B group, and so I think I'm caught up. I actually heard the No Agenda that you were talking about the other day, where Adam made his big announcement that he's single again.
Yeah.
And so I'm almost caught up. I'm about a week behind now. So, but I'll catch up quickly. So, hey, you know, before I came up here tonight, I just want to say this. I was surprised because NBC had it on. I was watching rugby.
Really?
Yes. And that is very hard to find here on the Dish Network unless you pay extra for it. But it was, and I said, you know, rugby will never make it in this country for one reason and one reason only, I think. Because I find it a fascinating game, and I think people could get into it.
Right.
The main reason is because rugby, no, it's kind of like soccer in the respect that they never stop the action. There's no breaks for commercials. So therefore, nobody on the networks are going to ever want to cover rugby because, well, there's no place to put commercials and make money.
Yeah, good point.
And for some reason, Australia's okay and Europe's okay with it because, you know, they'll just, you know, they put a bunch of commercials in when they can at the half and they can, they don't even, you know, even when there's a penalty, it's hard to throw a commercial in. So, but, you know, that won't go here. Well, I was watching this, and this was called Rugby Sevens. And what Rugby Sevens is, I said, this could go over in the U.S. It was actually in the U.S. It was being played in Las Vegas. And it was all the different teams from the different countries. And what it is each game, each match, is they have seven-minute halves. So the whole game is 14 minutes. And 14 minutes is pretty much 14 minutes in rugby. You know, it might be a little longer, but not much longer because it's just action-packed. And I said, now this would work in the States because in 7 minutes, you can break at half and put commercials in. At the end of the game, you can put commercials in before you go to the next match because it's two teams. They play for 14 minutes, and then they get two other teams, and they play for 14 minutes, and they just do this. And I said, that would work in the U.S., and we could watch rugby.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that this catches on because I was loving it. I was cheering it on, and my wife was asking me questions, and I was like, I'm surprised. I really, when I was watching the Australians rules rugby a couple summers ago on Ustream, I learned the game pretty much. I could explain to her what was going on and stuff like that. And I said, wow, I caught on to this pretty quick. So I'm an amateur. I don't know all the specific rules. But I knew enough to know that this is a little bit different than the way they play in Australia. Yeah, because there was a couple things that weren't quite the same. But that's true. Europe rugby is different from Australian rules rugby, and I think it depends on the league too. The leagues may even have different rules. But I was happy to see it, and I'm hoping it catches on because NBC was playing it, and I hope they had an audience because it was great. It was great to watch it, and you know they're real men. You know? Because when you watch a football game, and I do like football, American football, okay. But when you think about it, first of all, the clock goes for an hour, right?
All right.
It's an hour game that takes 3 hours to play. Okay? That's the first thing. And if you total up all the actual action that takes place from, you know, a hike to end of the play, and if you took out all the stuff in between that and just did the action like that, boom, 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 there's 20 minutes of action in a 1 hour game that they play for 3 hours. Now think about it.
You know? Sounds about right.
Where rugby, it's action all the way. And these guys, they're hitting each other like football, and yet they got to sit there and run like soccer. You know, constantly be on the move. There is no stopping, except for the occasional scrum that occurs. But and that's usually because of a foul or something, or a turnover. But I was happy to see it. I just had to mention that. It was fun. Rugby Sevens. I think it's going to be on tomorrow afternoon, too. So
cool.
I want to check NBC. So, Michael.
Yes.
We're at the end of our normal topics. And you
we skipped one, but we can come back to that.
Did we?
Yep. The one with all the asterisks in front of it.
One with all the asterisks. Oh, crap. I'm sorry. You know
what? We can do that at the end if you want.
Yeah, I'm not in edit mode, and I... Oh, God, I may have skipped a whole bunch. Sorry.
No.
My page did not update because I wasn't in edit mode. Oh, there it is. Oh, there's a couple we missed. I'm sorry. No, let's go up and do those.
Okay, which one? Well,
how about the one before... For the asterisk one, we skipped
okay,
that
well,
one.
I had made mention of this on Google Plus, but this past week we finally did take down the Christmas tree. Sigh.
February.
35 days of You for Christmas. I think we're finally actually closer to 40 days of You for Christmas.
Oh God.
The cats were mortified.
Oh, yeah. You took their friend away.
Yep. Yeah. And they've gotten used to drinking out of the tree dish, too. They like, so it must be that pine flavor or something. But, they get their paws balanced and they get their head way down. Because I've got this huge stand, and they get their head way down in the stand drinking the water out of that dish rather than their own.
Oh, God.
They didn't seem to be getting sick on it or anything. I mean, it's a natural tree. It's not like there's any additives to worry about.
No. Woodsy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very rustic. You know, since they were all farm cats before we moved up here, and then they realized the neighborhood changed and it was a little dangerous to be outside. So they're more than happy to just stay in the house now.
Yeah. Wow. So the tree's down.
Tree's down. All the ornaments are boxed up. I decided not to reuse any of the lights anymore. It's time for all new Christmas lights. But, yeah.
Christmas is over and up in the UP.
Sigh. In February, yes.
And the next?
That was an early end for us. Normally we'd go at least another week, but we thought, yeah, we'll probably take it down.
The next one's a big one. I can't believe I missed it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, it's been an ongoing story, but the final details were ironed out today, and that is PodCamp Toronto! Cure him! Someone's got to represent us there.
Yeah.
I went ahead and registered as soon as the rest of the group told me that they were finally accepting registration. Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks ago, I contacted my friend, the Jeep doctor, who's also a rental car place, and said, hey, can you reserve a car for me for that weekend? And he goes, yeah, absolutely. And good thing you told me now, because there's a big event at the university that weekend, and another day there wouldn't be any cars available.
Wow.
So I promised him, I said, well, you know, this is just precautionary. I don't know if I can go yet. And he said, yeah, no problem. Just let me know as soon as possible. And then, well, something else happened, which will... No, I'll talk about it now, too, you know, because I changed jobs. Actually, specifically, I got a full-time job with benefit.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, now not only am I trying to figure out how to go to PodCamp Toronto, but I'm going to have to take a day off before and a day off after for driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I really knew I have joined up with the right company when I told them what PodCamp Toronto was, and you know, this is what I had registered for, and I'll cancel it if you want me to. And they said, "What is it?" I told them, and they said, "Cool."
Nice.
That was the only answer I got back.
Wow.
Cool. It's like, go for it, dude. But so I was working out the details, and the last one was lodging. Things are a little tight, and they'll ease up in a couple of weeks, but in a couple of weeks, it's going to be past PodCamp Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking. I know our friend Anthony stays at Bond Place across the street, and I looked at that and was like, no, geez, you know, I really don't. If I have to, I will, but let me see what else I got. And then I remembered, oh, cripe, you know, I'm a co-owner of a timeshare in Las Vegas with my mom, and I get all kinds of points from that. So I called up the central office of RCI and said, hey, you know, looking to stay at an RCI property. I've got all these points saved up, which means it would have been free. The guy looks up and he goes, tap, 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 goes on the keyboard. He goes, yeah, we've got the nearest property to Toronto, and nearby Toronto area is Collingwood. And I was like, okay. And I looked it up on Google Maps. Well, there's a Collingwood Drive, but not Collingwood. I didn't catch that right away.
All right.
So I said, well, I'll have to check into this, get back to you. I sent off a message to Scarborough, dude, because it looked like it was over near him. And I said, hey, you know, how much of a drive is it from Collingwood over to PodCamp Toronto? And he goes, I don't think that's what you meant. And I went back and looked at the map, and I went, oh, crap, no, that's not going to work. And the dude then said, but you can stay with us.
Wow.
And I was like, really? He said, yeah, why don't you just get down here by Friday afternoon, then you can just park your car, and we'll just take the subway into the event.
Cool.
Like, yeah, well, if you don't mind. He goes, no, absolutely, I don't mind. I said, well, you just sealed the deal for me there.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the plan. I've got fire officers training on Thursday night. I'm reviewing for my written exam.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I finish that, I'm getting in my rental car, and I'm heading south and east.
Wow.
And I'll stop to get some rest sometime Friday morning.
All right.
Or late Thursday night, Friday morning. And that'll get me in the Scarborough area early afternoon in time to regroup and then head in for PodCamp Toronto.
Cool.
Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah, I'm all hyped. You know, I'm really glad. I was wondering how in the heck I was going to pull this off.
Yeah.
But I've got full support of family and friends and support of Scarborough dude and his family to come out. So I really appreciate it. This is going to be going to be cool. Or as they, you know, did in Animal House, this is going to be great.
That is neat.
Road trip.
Yeah, cool. Jeez, I wish we could get there, but it's just, especially, you know, what we've been going through lately. I could just imagine it.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have charted out a couple of possible approaches depending on how the weather's going to be at the end of the week.
But I listened to Anthony's podcast and he was talking about the weather and how different it is. And if you're on the west side of the lake, then you don't get as much. You don't get the lake effects like you are if you were on the east side of the lake. So, you know, you may be okay. It might be cold, but You may be okay unless some huge, gigantic blizzard, you know, nor'easter comes and dumps snow into the middle of the country. Which, that could happen.
Are you getting all this, Joel?
I got every fourth word.
Okay, same here.
It was really important.
Just thought I'd...
Let me check.
Yeah, it was just, it was a little bit of east, cold, lake, windy.
Anthony. Yeah, that sounds about what I got, too.
Okay. So we're on the same page.
Oh, God.
I think I heard a sigh there.
Yeah, I think, there was definitely a sigh there, and I can almost hear him saying, what the hell? He hasn't said it yet, but he is.
What the fuck?
Yeah, there was a reference to a deity in there.
Oh, he used a different word.
Yeah, that one came through.
Loud and clear, Houston. Oh my gosh, that was funny.
Yeah, funny. God. Oh well. Okay.
So,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you good now.
Are you sure?
Yeah, until you actually want us to be. Yeah, and then it'll go. Right now, it's good.
And the bartender said that'll be 3 squid, please.
Well, we think. That's 2 squid, please.
Oh, that's 2 squid, please. I'm sorry. I was trying to remember the right sea animal. That'll be 2 lobster. No, it wasn't lobsters. That'll be 2 shrimp. No, it wasn't shrimp. What the hell was it?
some kind of sea creature.
Couple of clams.
God.
2 Krabby Patties, please. For those who know yes, SpongeBob.
I know who SpongeBob is. And I shouldn't, but I do. I'm not going to say that I have watched SpongeBob. And no,
I have.
There were no kids. There were no kids in this room with me.
Absolutely.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we're going to go to an app review.
Cool.
A couple of weeks ago, Rogue Amoeba, I got an email from Rogue Amoeba, and they have a new Audio Hijack 3 available. Which is great because if you're a podcaster, this is a very cool tool to check out. Basically, what it does is it goes and grabs the output of any app, any web browser, pretty much anything that you're running on the computer, any input device, and you can separate them and you can mix them together and basically... record doing the same thing that I do with 3 computers here right now. You can do it on 1 computer with
Amoeba.
Yes, Amoeba. I lost my place in the notes. Audio Hijack 3. The nice thing between the old Audio Hijack and the new Audio Hijack 3 is they changed the user interface on it. And now it's kind of like you've got a canvas, and then you have all these modules on the side, boxes with inputs, outputs, and filters and things, and you just drag and drop them onto the canvas and connect up via lines between them, and that's how you do the setup. Before it was kind of crazy. You could do it, but you know, you had to really read the instructions on how to do it. Now it's simple to do. And for podcasters, it's amazing, and you can actually record. You know, they've got an MP3 recorder, they got a WAVE recorder. You can pretty much do whatever you record it however you want. You can have a Hangout input going into it along with a microphone that you're on. You can do Skype. You can pretty much anything that's running on your laptop or desktop. You can run in through the Audio Hijack and boom, you know, you've got a professional sounding podcast that's on separate channels if you want it to be, or you can merge it together. So it's pretty cool. So I highly recommend it because I have the old Audio Hijack Pro. I got a discount on upgrading, so it was nice. I think I got like half off to upgrade it, but I did it, and I still have to play with it a little more. I was playing with it a little bit today, but I have to get with one of you guys during the week because I would like to see if I can, you know, I would like to set it up so I could maybe possibly potentially go down to 1 computer instead of 3 computers. Well, I'd probably go down to 2 computers, but it would be neat. But the nice thing that I'm looking forward to this is I might be able to actually do this podcast, you know, when it's 80 degrees out, balmy 80 degrees, and You know, it's a beautiful night. Why am I up in the QRM studios when I could be sitting out at the picnic table out back and, you know, with my laptop and recording the podcast out there?
With sounds of nature behind you.
Yes. I mean, there was a couple times you were up and we wanted to do that. Well, I've got all the pieces and parts now to do that. So I'm looking forward to this. That's the main reason I got it. And it may help out when we, you know, go visit the Studio V next time. Because we spent a good amount of time trying to get things to, you know, meld together.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I think that the setup took longer than the actual podcast. But this would help. This would definitely help. So I highly recommend it. And another thing, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to step on you. Yeah, I was actually on that very same subject, and Michael, I know it's way in the future and way far off in the great distance. However, we need to start thinking about the next visit up to Studio V and maybe working it in such a fashion where we're already halfway there, made in line with the Marshall McLuhan Roundtable. That's July.
That's true. Might not be a bad idea. Michael? Did we lose Michael?
That would be cool.
Oh. No, I'm here. Okay.
Because I was sitting here thinking, I was listening to latest Marshall McLuhan in the latest show that was released, they mentioned, okay, yeah, the roundtable, you know, in July.
Well, okay, I was listening to one of Anthony's, and I don't know whether this was before or after. I probably haven't caught up on the Marshall McLuhan, but Anthony was saying he was looking at possibly combining the roundtable with another event, like I think there's a WordPress event up there. And so that way people could either just hang out at the Marshall McLuhan roundtable, or if they wanted to during the day, go over to the WordPress event and then, you know, just go kind of bob back and forth between the two events. He was talking about that. He didn't know, but he said it doesn't necessarily have to be in July. So we gotta find out when it's going to be. And don't make it in January or February next year. Yeah, summer would be... summer would be best. Fall would be okay.
Nice drive. Real nice drive.
Yeah. So...
Well, since a good part of the round table are teachers, I think you're pretty safe there.
That's going to be summer. Yeah. Because I understood Dave's not going to be able to make the podcast, or the
Podcamp Toronto? Yeah. No, it's going to be a Marshall McLuhan X gathering here.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a few people that wanted to get up there, and they're not going to make it. So, but I think there'll be a big enough group. That would be fun. So we'll get up there. We'll get up there one of these days. There was another. It's not really an app, but it's a new device that I actually saw at CES. And this is for people that have a wallet. Now, I know most people only have one or two credit cards. Or just one credit card and a bank card, like, you know, an ATM card. Or you might have that, plus you might have a couple of those cards that you use at the stores. I forget what they call them, you know, to...
convenience cards.
Yeah, convenience cards. Well, there's a company that is coming out with... It's called Swype. S-W-Y-P-E, I believe. And they're coming out with a metal card, okay? And... you can put up to 25 credit cards on it. So you can have one card, and it'll take the convenience cards, it'll take your ATM cards and stuff like that. And so you can use the one card, carry one card instead of a whole bunch of other cards in your wallet. And I saw a picture of it, and basically it's got a couple arrow keys, and you just bump up to whichever card you want to use, and then you press the center button. And it works. Now, it is actually more secure than a credit card because one thing is it's tied into your phone via Bluetooth. So if you walk out or somebody steals it and it gets away from your phone, A, not only will it lock itself so that nobody can use it, and B, you'll get notified on your phone that you either left the card or somebody stole your card. And you can shut it down. Now, if you happen to be using it and you don't have your phone with you, there's a PIN number that you can punch into it and still use it. Now,
so is it like PIN and chip?
It is PIN and chip and swipeable. So it's both at the same time.
So what happens if you get mugged and they take your cell phone and your swipe card?
Well, if that happens, then you got to do what happens when you have when you lose your cell phone. You basically got to shut down your phone. If you shut down your phone, the card locks itself.
Gotcha.
So it's still safer than, if they stole your phone and your credit cards, they'd be off using your credit cards until you called the credit card company and shut it down. So, and it still works. I mean, the credit card company, it's still the same way if somebody mischarges on it or something. But it's less likely that it'll happen. Now, it comes with a rechargeable battery in it. And I was like, okay, well, how often do you have to recharge this thing? Every 2 years.
Well, that's not that.
You got to charge it every 2 years. It comes with a USB charger. And so the charge lasts for 2 years. And so it's not available yet. They're taking pre-orders. I looked at it and I said, I'm looking at my wallet and seeing this fat thing that, and I said, oh yeah, I'm getting one now. I got it. It's $50. Mm-hmm. Okay. For the pre-order. When it comes out in retail, it's going to be $99. But so they're giving you half off.
If you change like cell phones, or if you go from iPhone to an Android or vice versa?
It has an app.
I would imagine it's got to be backward compatible.
Oh, right? It is. Matter of fact, it's got an app, that both an Android and an iPhone app. And also, I think it does Windows, too. The Windows app.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how you put all your card information in. It's got a little little swiper, kind of like Square swiper, that comes with it. And you plug it into your cell phone, and then you swipe each card into the app, and then the app programs the card.
Interesting. So, yeah. And the only thing that I question, and it sounds really cool, is, so all your credit card information is like Swipe is acting like a PayPal. It's holding.
It's not up in the cloud. It's put on the card. It's on your phone, and it's on the card.
So if their servers got hacked,
nope,
they can't get your MasterCard information.
That information does not go on their servers,
even though you're putting it in through the app.
The app is local to your phone, and it goes directly to the card.
Interesting, cool.
So yeah, I looked at it and I got on the page and I read about it, and it's going to be available in the fall. But I said, damn, I mean, that's what I'm looking for, because I got this freaking fat wallet and it's mostly cards and convenience cards and my ATM cards, because I got a couple ATM cards, because I have a couple different accounts, and a couple credit cards. I got my company credit card and stuff, and I said, boy, if I could get rid of all those and just carry this one thing around, that would be great. So they got me. I'm going for it.
But, sounds pretty cool, man. It really definitely does. I'm still groovy about the whole Apple Pay thing, too.
Yeah, I am, too, and that would be cool if everybody took Apple Pay.
Right.
Unfortunately, not everybody's taking Apple Pay, and there's some. But this is just like a regular credit card. You swipe it like a regular credit card, or you pin it like it. And they're talking about actually potentially in a future version of it putting NFC onto it too, kind of like an Apple thing, so you could just wave it in front of a device. So, yeah, it's cool. It's basically does the same stuff as Apple Pay does, except it's in a credit card form. So, but I'm happy because I hate carrying around all that stuff. Yeah.
Sounds pretty damn cool.
Yeah. So, just telling you, it's out there. I think it's swipe.com. Like I said, S-W-Y-P-E. And it's a starter company, but they got a lot of backing, and it's a cool idea. There's already a couple of cards out there that do similar things, but this one looked neater. I mean, it was easier. It seemed like it was easier to get the stuff in and out. There was it had 25 cards. There's another card that's fairly easy, but it only lets you put like 5 cards on it, and so I don't know. This one looked cool, so. There you go.
Very cool.
It's out there for you. So now it's time for Ingress Alert.
Acquiring position. Downloading latest Intel package.
Well, that was short. Okay.
No, it's still going. You just can't hear it.
Is this thing on?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you, Michael.
Okay. Anyhow, so, I've been pretty active the last couple of weeks, playing the game with my youngest son, who's pretty into it. And we've been to a couple of big field events and did our first Saturday. But what I'm here to talk about tonight is there's been this portal that occasionally would show up in the scanners that was in an area that, even by Copper Harbor standards, is pretty remote. There's no Wi-Fi, there's no cell, there's no nothing where it's at. And interesting enough, it has no station name on it, which means that it was one of the original portals that was determined by the game when they released it. So it's never been captured. And Mark and I have been going back and forth on how to do this, and finally figured out that I could set up a 900 megahertz transceiver in my Jeep and drive this location and fire a beam through the woods, through the trees, several miles through the trees, to a access point in Copper Harbor. So that's what we did last Sunday. We set up this whole conglomeration in the back of the Jeep to slam this 900 megahertz transceiver right up against the soft top of my Jeep between that and the roll bar. And I didn't have time to set up a nice 12-volt power supply for everything, so I had a 120-volt inverter in the back seat running off a jail cell, and grabbed the Wi-Fi access point out of my office and set up the Jeep as a rolling Wi-Fi center. And drove up to the location just barely. I mean, another 100 yards, we wouldn't have had signal because of the hills. I mean, we can shoot through trees, but I can't shoot through rock too well. But we were able to set up in a safe place on the side of the road by the woods there and activated the portal. So put all this up on the Google Plus page, and I've been getting some, again, we're getting some worldwide likes, pluses, whatever. I shouldn't say likes. Worldwide pluses, plus ones on this. So it was a fun operation. The resistance is all excited. And we're going to have to go back and start farming some keys now. But
I was going to say, that's
the... It was fun. It was...
Sorry, that's got to be the ultimate guardian.
Well, until they, you know, fire up the towers. Because, yeah, right now there is no cell phone coverage there.
Right.
And it's pretty deep in the trees, so it would be even a tough call for if somebody came out there with a sat phone. It'd still be a pretty tough one to get.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
It was a fun outing. Yeah. And again, just having a blast doing this with my son. He's having fun playing the game.
That is cool. Well, for me this week, I took Peterborough. And that was about it. And I had to do it driving around because of all the snow and everything. There was less places to park. And yeah, it was like 2 degrees outside. So there was no freaking way I was going to go out and walk around Peterborough. So I just slowly drove around and took out everything, and then slowly drove around again and grabbed everything, and then went home. That was it. Nothing exciting. pretty boring here with all the snow and the cold weather. Nobody's out playing.
Yeah.
Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, nope. Actually, we heard all of it.
Okay.
I didn't hear any of it because I went to take a pee. I mean, I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, well, of course. You heard the Ingress thing, and it immediately activates the pee-pee.
It does that, and refill the drink, and grab a bag of potato chips.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, come on back. We're back now.
I'm right here.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody else that went out for... everybody else, all the rest of the audience that went out for a pee-pee and grab a drink and a bag of snacks.
Chips.
All right. So that brings us to our next topic, bottom gear.
Welcome to another Late Night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel. Today, we got a few stories to tell. Michael, take it away.
All right. Well, first story I got to tell is, Mark and I were on our way to one of our Ingress encounters, and we were driving down US 41 and about 4 miles north of a place called Mohawk, Michigan, when I spied something a little... Hello?
Oh, yeah.
You there.
Okay.
I'm listening. We spied something, and I mean, the tension's there. I'm on the end of my seat.
Okay. So we're coming down that last stretch into Mohawk, about 4 miles north of it, and something was amiss, and that was a tire rolling my way.
Oh, no. Now you're
without the vehicle
up.
Attached to it.
Uh-oh.
And, of course.
Hey. No.
Well, I don't know. Joel, you can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, but I'm recording it.
All right. Never fails.
Go ahead. We've got a speed test going. You'll be fine.
There you go.
Get those UDP packets going there. Okay, so 4 miles north of Mohawk, we see a tire that is not minding its own business, or actually it is minding its own business, and it shouldn't be. And then behind that, I see a pickup truck on its roof with various pieces of gears thrown all over the highway. I'm like, oh, this is not a natural state for a Dodge pickup truck. So we come up on the scene, and as I'm rolling up, I pull up my paramedic radio, call station 80 or state police, and let them know about the accident, and tell them I'll get right back to them because I can see the driver sitting in the snow bank right next to his vehicle. And fortunately, the driver was fine. Can't say that for his vehicle. He rolled it pretty good. And I said, well, what happened? As I'm giving a quick checkout on the guy. And he said, well, I was rolling down the road just minding my own business, heading out to a Car Harbor to go ice fishing. I said, well, it sounds like a good plan right away. And he goes, that's when the right front tire decided to depart the truck on its own.
Holy crap.
So he was doing about 50 miles an hour when the right front tire came up.
Jesus.
Came off and... that immediately catapulted him into the snowbank, and as soon as it hit the snowbank, he started rolling.
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, you know those little things they put on the center rearview mirror after they change the tires, saying retighten the lug nuts after 50 miles?
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, well, this is a classic case of he should have retightened his lug nuts.
Oh, my God.
So, poor guy, but you know, the good news is, he's unharmed. The truck, yeah, the truck's totaled, but nobody got hurt.
Right.
Wound up staying on scene for a while, helping move stuff out of the way and waiting until the police showed up. And once we were sure that traffic control was taken care of, and one of the other firemen showed up and took care of the rest of the traffic control, and Mark and I continued on to our Ings event. But, yep.
Jeez.
When they say tighten those lug nuts, they mean it.
Really? Jeez.
You know, it's funny because they take for granted that, no, they're going to be fine. You got to put them on a lug nut gun. And you know what? There's a lot of truth in that. You know, I've changed a million tires. my car, other cars, other folks' cars, and they do. The friggin' things loosen up. I use my air gun, and I have it. Factory says set it to like 90 to 100 pounds per square inch. Not on my personal trucks, especially my one-ton diesel. I mean, you guys remember that. Hell, mm-hmm. I used to rack them suckers on it to almost 200 pounds per square inch. And they'd still loosen up on me.
Wow.
Yeah. It's bad. Jeez.
Well, I guess I'm next, and I don't have a theme song for my JD. But I just thought of one. I'll have one next week.
You got me wondering what it is.
Nice!
I'll have it for next week. Trust me. Hal, just a quick story here. And I think I actually posted this on the community page, but the good news is I found my stone wall that's in front of my house.
Woohoo!
And it only cost me one shear pin.
Oh.
The left auger shear pin went again. That was the one I just replaced last time.
I was gonna say, that's the pain in the ass side, isn't it?
Not really. I mean, they're the same. Today, actually, I did that, I guess, Tuesday. I forget. I don't know. I've been snowblowing so damn much lately. I think Wednesday might have been the last time I snowblowed. And luckily, I was at the end. So, you know, the driveway was done. So all I had was the walk behind stuff to do, cut the trail for the gas guy and the oil guy. And it sat, and today I went out, and first thing I did was take that little heater and, of course, melt all the snow off the inside. Because
it's, smart man.
Yeah, melted all the snow and heated up a little bit, and I said, okay, I'm going to need these tools, so I grabbed them out of the tool chest, which are freezing cold because it's out in the garage, and I brought them inside and laid them, nicely on top of the propane heater in the family room to warm them up, because I said, I'm not going to freeze my frickin' fingers off replacing this thing. And then I put my little headlamp on, because that's what I use, the direct light in, so I can see what I'm actually doing. Even though it's broad daylight, you know, it's under there, and I had to do a couple with the tractor on to properly align the holes so that I could actually access them. Little thing about that. If you're going to do that, make sure that the chute is pointing out the garage door. Because, you know, I park the thing, you know, when there's a lot of snow, I usually park it over where the ice is collecting, where the ice dam is right now. Mm-hmm. But when it's constantly going, I usually park it behind the Prius in the garage. And, oh, God, did I say Prius? So anyway, so it's parked back there, and it's basically, you know, parked sideways in the garage, and the snowblower is facing the door that goes into the house, and we've got a rack there that we hang things on and a bench. And so, you know, I start the JD up, and all I have to do is, you know, engage the snowblower just a little bit, go like this to move it around. Well, I go, and it goes all over the wall, the door, because there was still snow in the chute.
Yep, I would imagine your beautiful bride then opens the door and goes, what the hell was that?
She wasn't home, thank God.
Wow, you lucked out there. Dodged a bullet.
So I said, crap, you know. So, well, it also hit right next to the door the two controllers for our automatic garage door opener, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So this is another side thing. This is all about replacing a shear pin now, okay? This is what happened. So, you know, I'm looking at it, and there's snow all over this thing. You know, the both controllers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one that controls my door, which is, you know, where I am working,
mm-hmm.
Some of that snow, I guess, got into the circuit board. I mean, these things aren't meant to be... They're not meant to be, you know, mounted outside in the elements. In a garage is fine. Out of the elements.
Right.
In which case, I just spewed element all over it. And some of it got in, and all of a sudden, the door starts going down. Closing.
Oh, boy.
It gets about halfway down, and the door starts opening up again. And then it starts going down. It goes all the way down and closes. And then it opens back up again. And meanwhile, the dog's out there going, "What are you doing? Are you leaving me out here?" Because he's out on the chain outside. And he's kind of watching this door. And then the door starts going down. It moves about 2 feet and then back up. And then back down. And then back up.
So, cut the wire.
No, I popped out off the little push button, the plastic push button that's basically got two little prongs that go right to the circuit board. Well, I popped that off, and you know that little space heater that I was using to melt all the ice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought it over.
That little space heater saved the day.
I'm telling you, that is worth its weight in gold. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the door, and it's going back and forth and back and forth, and it makes a couple trips down, all the way down and all the way back up, and then a couple short trips, and then eventually it stops. I said, "Well, I must have dried it out." Then I put the thing back on. It's been fine. It's working fine, so I must have... It must have not caused too much problems with it. So, needless to say, now I'm down. Everything's melted. My tools are warm. I'm figuring I'm going to have to tap out the old one. I get down there. I shine my little headlamp on it. And I look and I say, "Ah, wonders of wonders, a miracle. It fell out by itself. So I had a nice hole. All I had to do is put the shear... I say shear pin. It's actually a shear bolt. I had to put that in, put it on. It was a piece of cake. Other than, you know, the fun garage door thing,
door opener, it was an easy job.
Yeah, and so then there's this snow all over the place, and you know, in the mat and everything in front of the door and everything. And I said, "How the hell am I going to clean this up? This is a pain in the ass. There's a lot of stuff around there. I got the tractor there, my car's there."
Dried out with the heater.
That's what I did. Put the heater down on the ground right in front of the door. Melted the bust. I love that heater.
Now you got two.
I have two now. Because I'm going to probably hate it when I get the electric bill. But
everything's dry and the door works.
And the door works. So it's good. And everything's good. And I'm ready for... snow blowing tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm looking out the window. As you were just telling that story, I heard some of Nashua's finest right down the street.
Know that sound?
Oh yeah, and it's coming down at a real good clip.
Oh, that was the other thing. Speaking of shear pins, I did on Wednesday. After work, I stopped down at the JD place in Nashua, there on 101A, and I said, because I noticed I was down to two shear bolts left. I said, "Well, I don't want to be without shear bolts. I've already gone through three this year," and so I get in there and he brings out a box of shear bolts, and then he goes, "We don't have any nuts." I said, "You don't have any nuts?" He goes, "No." He goes, "We're out of them." I said, "You're kidding me." So now I'm thinking, I gotta have to stop at Home Depot and pick up some nuts for this. And then he goes, "Oh, wait a minute." He goes around the corner and he comes back and he goes, "I forgot they came in today. We just haven't put them in the, you know, registered them yet." And he slaps down the plastic bag with the nuts in it. And he goes, "Well, how many shear bolts do you want?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. How many nuts are in the plastic bag? Because the bolts are in a box, you know?" He goes, "Well, there's 10. I said, "Well, then give me 10 shear bolts." Those suckers are like $2 a piece, though. That's
actually cheap.
Yeah, I know. But it was like $22.
Yeah, I've seen those things go for as much as $8.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, so I'm kind of happy, but needless to say, I think I hopefully got enough for until the end of the season.
One would hope that we're not going to have that much more snow. That much more. Yeah, that's grammatically correct. You know what I meant.
Did you hear the town of Merrimack, New Hampshire, put out a warrant for Punxsutawney Phil?
I did.
And it made national news.
It made national news, and then the... what was it? There's the Pennsylvania Police Department responded.
Did they?
Yes, they did, about how they were going to protect him.
Oh, that was funny. Oh, that was great. Well, you had some fun times this week.
You could say so. It was an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to recap, or real quick, for those who may have missed it or didn't hear or whatever, but so last Sunday, we were getting slammed with a snowstorm, and I got like a 20-incher, easy. So I thought, it was Saturday into Sunday, and I thought, you know what, I'm not cleaning up a darn thing. I'm not going out and snow blowing three or four times. I'll just wait till it all dumps, and then I'll get out the old Honda HS55 and start snow blowing away on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it happens, I figured I'll sleep in, get up, have breakfast with my beautiful wife, have a cup of coffee, bundle up, mentally prepare, and I figure I'll go out about 11 o'clock. And if the snow's, you know, really backed off by then. And lo and behold, just about when I was getting ready to, you know, to go out, ding dong. And I haven't left the house yet. I'm just still having coffee, sitting with Debbie. And I was wearing sweatpants, I think a T-shirt with Goofy on it. And I had, you know, the hat that the miners would wear or the Russian tank drivers would wear that have the ear flaps on them?
Yeah.
Much like looking like Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I have that on my head with the flaps pointing straight out on either side because it entertained me when I answered the door with my late night QRM coffee cup in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy goes, well, first of all, his eyes, he was quite horrified.
Upon seeing you?
As I opened the door and I thought about it, it was actually explained to me later that there's a 6'5", 375-pound Cousin Eddie just answered the door, and the news he had to tell me was, "Hi, I just hit your car." Goldfinger. So, needless to say, Cousin Eddie says, "What?" And he said, "I was doing you a favor, and I bumped your car." I looked at this guy, and I said, "How the fuck is hitting my car doing me a favor when it's parked in my driveway in front of my garage? Don't move." And I said, I went upstairs, and my very lighthearted, jocular, comical, almost, you know, clownish demeanor definitely had changed, and Debbie picked up on it quick. And I threw my jeans on. She's like, "What's up?" I said, "This guy just said he hit my car." She goes, "It's in the fucking driveway." And she didn't say effing, because she's a lady. That's me. She says, "It's in the driveway in front of the garage door." I said, "I know. I'm trying to put it together myself." But so I go down, and I trudge through the snow to get towards the garage, and I see the back of my car, and the entire passenger side taillight is gone. G-O-N-E gone. Not, and like little red pieces of shrapnel plastic everywhere. He's driving a pickup truck with a plow on it. So he was plowing an access driveway that runs alongside of our garage. And I guess decided that backing up to try and take another push at the snow was the way to go, but looking over your right shoulder to seeing what you're backing into is overrated.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. By the way, according to your wife, a disputed access road. But
yes, well, the access road, because the houses, the way the houses are situated, it's not so much the houses, but our garage, which is a two-car detached garage. There's an access road that runs alongside of it that goes to the back of the property of the house that sits immediately to the right of ours, which has since been turned into a business, like a day spa kind of thing. So it still looks like a house, but they have a parking lot out back. Well, that access driveway, and it's not a road, it's a driveway, is owned by my landlord. He's the one who pays the taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of an easement written back in like 18... Let's see, Nashville became a city in 1771. Sometimes say 1849.
Yeah.
Because of an easement when this house and all the properties were cut up in this area, it was written in as an easement as access path for carriage and horse to rear barn of property at such and such a road.
Mm-hmm.
So it was built in from like the 1800s that this is an access way easement for the people who own the property to the right. And so Brian, my landlord, can't park anything in that driveway. It has to stay open. Yeah. So you can't put a boat, put a trailer there, put a car there. Because supposedly these people, because of the easement for the access. And I had said to him on more than one occasion, I said, hey, the way it's written, in because of the dispute, I said, but the way it is written verbatim, as far as the easement and the access, it says for horse and carriage. It didn't say anything about car. The width of a horse and carriage is about 6.5 to 7 feet wide. A car, it's not as wide as a car. So yeah. I would suggest you put a bollard or a really big effing rock at the back half of that garage where a horse and carriage could easily go by, but you sure as shit ain't going to get a car up it. And that eliminates that little problem because people use this as a cut-through, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this guy was plowing that access driveway, came, pushed the snow down across the street into the yard of my neighbor across the street from me, and then decides to back up into my driveway and hit Goldfinger with the rear of his half-ton pickup truck. And what really pissed me off, now, because normally shit happens, you know, it happens to everybody, and it's unfortunate. But the first thing out of my mouth, unfortunately, because I'm rather passionate about it, was, and then I realized after that it was a mistake to say it, but the guy standing, I said, how? I look, and I see my light is completely gone. There's no red reflector, no plastic. It's smashed. The trunk lid's dented in. And I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to drive to work tomorrow and not get pulled over? I have no friggin' tail light on the right side of my car. And I was, after blurting this out, I look, and there's his son, who's probably no older than 8, standing there, and I went, oh, shit, because I dropped a couple of F-bombs, but I was pissed.
Yeah,
I'm like, my car's in my driveway in front of my garage door. Best case scenario, you have no reason to be backing into my driveway and hitting my car, aside from the fact that you weren't paying attention. So, and I thought, well, with shit happening, yada, yada, yada. And I said, the guy's like, but I was, you know, I was trying to do you a favor, and I know you snowblow all this area out. And I'm like, so, and I stopped right there. I said, so let's get this straight. You claim to be doing me a favor. However, you know that I have the tools, the machines, and the time, and I clean it all anyway. So what the hell are you doing in my driveway? Because he's like kind of plowing off the one corner of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only because it was convenient for him, because the idiot doesn't know how to drive a fucking truck and plow snow. So I said, you know what? This is bullshit. Give me your insurance. And so he gives me his insurance card. And you can see he's fumbling about. And the whole time it's not registering to me. here again, too, I probably should have, but I mean, I really was just pissed because I just got Goldfinger out of the shop, remember?
Yep.
I just had the whole top half of that motor all redone, and it was purring like better than brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and here I am dropping F bombs. Rather PO'd, standing in my driveway looking like Cousin Eddie, looking at my broken car, thinking, how the hell am I going to drive this to work tomorrow? Because it clearly has no tail ends. And so I take his insurance, I take a picture of it with my iPhone. And he's like, oh, I'm really, really sorry. And I see his son out there, and his son is shivering. I don't know if it's from the cold or from the excessively large, pissed off man dropping F bombs. Either way, I turned to the kid, I said, sorry, get in the damn truck and get warm. You're going to freeze to death out here. And so the little kid jumps up into this truck, in his dad's truck, passenger side. And he said, I'll give me, and I gave him my business card, which has my cell phone number on it. And I said, I got to call my insurance agent. So lo and behold, I get into the house, and I hadn't really put all the pieces together and really gotten steamed yet at that point until I had thought about it. And I'm like, immediately, from a psychological perspective, point of view rather, the first thing out of his mouth when I opened the door was, I was doing you a favor. No, seriously, let's analyze this. Not, hi, my name is Joe Blow, and I have some bad news. I apologize. I mistakenly struck your car while trying to plow snow. Or, you know, I got distracted and struck your car while doing this or that. The very first words out of this guy's mouth. Hi, I was doing you a favor and. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, you pussy-ass coward.
Mm-hmm.
When I fuck up, I'll step up. Yeah. I'll be the first one to say, I dropped the ball, I screwed up, I got distracted, I wasn't paying attention. Man up.
Yeah.
But don't you dare put it on me as if to say, because you're doing me a favor, my car got in your way. How about fuck you?
Yeah, really? Yeah, you did me a great favor.
Not only are you trespassing on my driveway, you struck my car. Now I've got a whole shitload of grief and aggravation in which I have to deal with, and you're going to try and deflect that and put it back on me that you were doing me a favor, and so subsequently this is the turn of events that ended up? Or how about you, like a stupid ass, don't know how to plow fucking snow, you pussy, and you were careless, didn't turn around, and backed into my goddamn car? That's probably more along the lines of what actually happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm stuck dealing with the fallout.
Yeah.
So I called my insurance. And then they're like, well, what do you want us to do? And they said, you can call his insurance and deal with it directly. So I did. I called his insurance, and I opened a claim.
Mm-hmm.
I no sooner got done, and they were really good, the insurance. And they came, this is on a Sunday, mind you, called me back, explained it. I took pictures of his truck. I took pictures of my car. I took pictures of the scene. I photo documented it, I think, rather quite well. And as soon as I got done opening the claim, I got my claim number from his insurance agent, and was informed that the claims appraiser would be out and to make an appointment to see the look at the car. He calls me up. Hey, hi, this is Joe Blow, and I got a buddy of mine that has a body shop, and what we could do is we could take your car there, and he'll give you a rental, and we'll get your car all fixed up, and, you know, just keep it. I said, you know what, let me explain something to you, Joe Blow. Aside from the fact that I just got off the phone with not only my insurance agent, but yours, had you not started off with the you were doing me a favor shit, I may have even considered it, just so my car gets fixed. And I'm not, you know, I'm minorly inconvenienced.
Mm-hmm.
But your insurance company wouldn't have been aware of it. You could have paid for it out of pocket. Your premium sure as shit wouldn't have gone up for the next 3 years. Because I'm not a dick. But the fact of the matter is that you put it on me that my car was in your effing way, and somehow it's my fault that my car got hit while you're trying to do me a favor? fuck you, the claim stays.
Good for you. Good for you.
So the adjuster came out, looked at it, and he said, what year is this car? I said, it's a 98. What, old 88? I said, yep. He said, this thing is mint. I says, it was. It was. It was a one owner. I was the second. And it's never been involved in a collision or an accident. And he goes, wow, this thing's in really, really good shape. How many miles are on it? I says, it just hit 130. He said, for a car this old? I was like, uh-huh. So he said, wow. And did his thing. I'm going to go sit in the truck and write up the estimate. I says, all right, you do that. I'm going to go blow some more snow. Because it's now, oh, surprise, it snowed again before he came up. So he came back out and he says, okay, this guy's going to get a hold of you, and he's the claims adjuster, and then they're going to make a decision from there. Mm-hmm. And he told me a name. I said, you've got a business card or a phone number or a claim adjustment number that I could have so I could prove that you were here? And I said, oh, yes. He gives me this piece of paper. I don't have a business card. I said, you know what? Probably a good idea to start getting some printed up. But he gives me the piece of paper with the claims adjuster's number on it. Mm-hmm. And I said, out of curiosity, so what are you looking at? What did you come up with for an estimate? He goes, $2,000 to $2,300. I said, that's about right. Because when the guy first pulled up, I told him, look, I've been wrenching on cars since I was 14. Mm-hmm. I've worked in the industry off and on for over a decade. I know what it costs to fix cars.
But you know what they're going to do with a 98.
Oh, yeah. They're going to write it off. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
So that being the case, you know, I got the call from the adjuster. He goes, yeah, this car's going to cost more than it's actually worth to fix because the car's got a book value of about $2,500 to $2,800. And I said, uh-huh. He said, so if you just want to give us the title, I said, whoa, slow down the truck there, chief. We're still in the negotiation phase right here. And he went, what do you mean? He says, well, I said, I got a 16-year-old son that's getting ready to get his license, and I can pound out the metal. And I, at this point, what used to be a pristine car, I really don't care what it looks like if a 16-year-old's driving it. And I said, so here's the deal. I said, so they gave me a number that in excess of $2,500 there is for the car. And I said, well, I want the car. He said, well, let me find out what the salvage price is. So he looks up. I'll call you back. Looks up the salvage price, calls me back. So, in a nutshell, I'm going to end up with over two G's, and I keep the car. So,
that's good. I mean, except for the inconvenience of everything, and the fact that it was mint and now it's not.
Yep. I'm kind of bummed about that. Yeah. And you know, Debbie's like, "Oh man," she says, "it's going to need all this work and it, you know, the parts and this." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, well, I said, the paint is scuffed, and to do it right, I would have to put a new bumper cover on it and sand it down and prime it and do this and then get it painted and the quarter panel and a new trunk deck lid and a new light if it was going to be tried to brought back up to pristine. But anyway, cut and slice it, it's been hit.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. She said, oh, I was going to need all that. I said, no, I already bought a taillight for it on eBay for $59. Which, by the way, is sitting in my living room right now. It showed up yesterday.
Cool.
And then I went up to see Kenny, and I said, he says, dude, what the hell happened? It's just left the shop. I said, I know. I told him the story. So Kenny and I are already scrubbing up a deck lid, and we're going to sand it, prime it, and repaint the whole car this spring.
That's cool.
Yeah. Cool. So, I mean, that's the saga of Goldfinger. I'm like, wow, man. I looked at Debbie and said, can't I have anything nice? My truck's got dents and dings, and all my cars have had blemishes or screwy paint jobs, and you just accept it. This is one of the first ones that I had that didn't have anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Looked, you stick it right next to a brand new car today, you go, wow, those are two nice looking cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it gets hit in my freaking driveway.
You weren't even out on the road or anything, you know?
I know. I know, man. I'm like, what the hell? That so, sucks. That was the speed of that one. And then my daughter came up with Wilson. She's been using Wilson.
With who?
Wilson.
Wilson! Wilson!
Thank you, Tom. And so she came home and she said, "Hey, Dad," and was just did an overnight dinner and this and that. And she happens to mention, we were sitting there having dinner. She goes, "Wow, this snow has been something else, but those studded snow tires on Wilson are just awesome. My mom's car and her husband's car and her grandpa's car all got stuck in the snow. The only one that'll go is Wilson." I said, "Uh-huh, I know." And and all this snow and ice. And sure enough, she said, "Boy, it takes so long to get heat. You know, thaw off the windows." And I said, "No, it doesn't." She goes, "Well, it's good when you're on the highway." She says, "But when it's just sitting there, it's kind of, it takes a long, long time, and it's just kind of warm. It's not really hot." I said, "No, it isn't." And I said, "Did you check the coolant level?" She said, "I don't know how to open the hood." And I went, "I've shown you like 5 times. Well, I wasn't paying attention. I said, "This shit's important." You know, and of course, you know, you're sitting there and you got your sweatpants on and your house slippers and just a t-shirt. And I'm like, and I already had a cocktail that evening with my dinner. I'm like, so if we got to go out and get antifreeze or coolant or whatever, you're driving because I've already had a drink and I'm not going to get behind the wheel. "Oh, okay, Dad." I said, she says, "It's cold out there." I said, "Get your shit and get dressed. We're going out. Turn on the floodlights of the garage. I don't want to show you how to go through every fluid." And the entire reservoir was empty.
Sure.
Yeah, and so therefore, she's like, "See, it's barely got any heat." And I said, "Okay, 50-50, antifreeze and this and that. Check the oil, check the chain." So start the car up. She starts the car up. She gets in it. She's like, you know, a minute and a half. After about a minute, she's like, "Oh, wow, it's getting hot already, and the needle's moving." I said, "It's a miracle what happens when you put coolant in it. Oh, it circulates to the radiator, then through the heater core."
You're lucky it was a cold winter.
Yeah.
She would have been stuck somewhere on the side of the road.
I said, "You got to keep tabs on this," because she hasn't been home in like 2.5 weeks. Mm. So, you know, for me to be able to check the car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, you know, and I said the same thing to her. I said, the fact that it's so cold is the only reason why this motor's, I mean, the radiator still had coolant in it, but there was nothing else extra in the reservoir.
Right, right.
So it was running low.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's like, "Oh," I said, "so next time anything weird crops up, you might want to give the old man a call before it gets bad."
Really?
So that's it, you know, between, you know, Goldfinger takes a hit and, you know, and Wilson's running great. It's just teenagers need to learn to check the fluids.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay, and I think... we'll save the entertainment last month. That's just another week. We'll save that because we're going on 3 hours here.
Ooh.
we're practicing for the marathon.
I know.
Yep.
So we better call this one. And as we always do, we want to thank all the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for doing what you're doing. And
absolutely.
And especially you OCONUS guys, we hope you get home to your families and friends real soon. Till then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. And yeah, a lot of crazy things are going on over there, overseas. So just be careful. Watch yourself. So... So with that, we do have a musical guest. The musical guest is, this will be the last one for the commercial background songs for a while until I collect a bunch of new ones. So this one is the group Oh Honey, and Be Okay is the name of the song, and I'm sure you'll recognize it when you hear it. And I'm thinking next week we're going to start with something from the 70s. You know, I'm looking at the top 40 type thing. But maybe doing like number 20 or number 40 for each year. And that'll give us 10 shows with,
another decade's worth of tunes.
Yeah. Just one. I'll try to find the list with the top 40 for the year. And right. Then I'll pick the last. Yeah, because you always hear the top 1, 2, or 3 songs. When was the last time you heard the 40th song? So that's what I'm going for. So but this week again it will be Oh Honey with Be Okay. So that's it from the very warm and balmy Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire. Better go put the air conditioning on. I am Barry J.
And from reality, where it's friggin' cold in the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from Studio V, and I'll see you next week if I can find a Wi-Fi connection from PodCamp Toronto. This is right. Michael, the Virtual Reaper.
That's right. You will be at PodCamp Toronto next week. Man.
More specifically, it's going to be Saturday night of PodCamp Toronto, which I may or may not be coherent. We'll see.
Yeah. It'll probably be one of those things like the Marshall McLuhan roundtable. That was fun, though. All right, everybody.
Yes, it was.
That's show 171. 172 next week. And here's Oh Honey.
Fresh cut grass, one cold beer. Thank the Lord, I am here and now. Here and now. Summer dress, favorite part. Bless your soul. Dreaming when your life is great. Celebrate the feeling. Celebrate the feeling. Oh! Can't complain about much these days. I believe we'll be okay. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Can't complain about much these days. I believe we'll be okay. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Let's bring it out. I believe we'll be okay. Your skin on my lips. Thank the Lord, I am here and now. Here and now. Fireflies after dark. Bless your soul. We are here and now. So what's the point of dreaming when your life is great? Celebrate the feeling, celebrate the feeling. Oh! Can't complain about much these days. I believe we'll be okay. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Can't complain about much these days. I believe we'll be okay. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Let's bring it out. Complain about much these days. I believe we'll be okay. Oh, 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 oh.
Samson, speak! Good boy.